Santa Cruz Mall. Eco Design Resources specializes in healthy and sustainable products for your home and office, such as plasters, paints, tiles, and more. Drop by Eco Design Resources and tell them Deborah sent you. Thank you for giving me part of your day. Have a fabulous afternoon. Remember, tomorrow really does matter. Tell a friend. Stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
We're doing all right. We're just thankful that we're alive and everybody's okay.
Personal belongings quickly jump to a distant second place when your windows shake with the train noises of the tornado in your yard.
We are a very strong and resilient state.
That's Tennessee Governor Phil Bredesen. 28 people died in his state, 54 in all in five states.
You can probably hear some of the machines in the background. There are bulldozers that are moving debris out of the way. There are power workers making sure that power lines are neutralized, making sure that there are no natural gas leaks. And off in the distance, there were probably about a dozen homes in front of the area where I'm standing right now. They're all gone or just about gone. People are going through what's left to see if they could save anything at all. Peter King, CBS News, Atkins, Arkansas.
The squall line that produced those twisters has crossed most of Georgia and the Carolinas today, now nearing the coastline. As the South gets smashed and twisted by tornadic weather, in Illinois, a nasty winter storm has been covering the state with rain, ice, and snow. More than 1,000 airline flights were canceled out of O'Hare and Midway airports. Here's a passenger.
No one has control over the weather, so you have to deal with that as part of traveling. I'd rather we canceled if it was bad weather than have an accident.
There's flooding in central and eastern Illinois. Michigan, on the weather map, is a blob of white. Rain has been so heavy in Ohio, the town of Findlay already has floodwaters in the middle of town. That's the Ohio River. The Blanchard River's out of its banks again and still rising. It was August when Findlay was devastated by late summer floods. It was legal drugs killed actor Heath Ledger, according to the autopsy released today.
Medical examiners say the star died of acute intoxication from a combination of medications, which may have been taken over several days. Police haven't said which drugs were found in his apartment, nor who prescribed them. But some doctors point out it's unlikely one physician would have prescribed them all. Now the DEA is investigating where those drugs came from and whether they were prescribed legally.
CBS's Cammie McCormick. The Senate is expected to vote tonight on its $40 billion fatter version of economic stimulus. North Dakota Senator Democrat Byron Dorgan says the government needs to expand the range of people who get checks.
You haven't earned your Social Security check? Seems to me that's a lifetime of earning. You didn't earn your disability payment. You earned it by putting your life on the line for this country.
Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell says stop the posturing, stop the delay.
Let's defeat the proposal that we know will not be accepted by the House, we know will not be signed by the president.
And McConnell says just passed the $150 billion House stimulus bill. This just in, the Phoenix Suns say they have acquired Shaquille O'Neal from the Miami Heat in exchange for Sean Marion and Marcus Banks. Wall Street, the Dow lost 65 points today. The Nasdaq was down nearly 31. Oil prices, $87.14. That's down $1.27. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa, replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12-3108.
Indictments are being brought in the poisoning of thousands of pets in this country through tainted pet food from China.
The indictments reveal just how an unsafe additive known as melamine made its way into the entire pet food supply chain. The scheme allegedly started with a company in China that used the additive to save money. Then the broker that shipped the ingredients put a false label on the shipments to fool Chinese inspectors. Then the American company that sold the products to pet food makers allegedly knew the labels were false, but there is no allegation that the company knew the ingredients themselves were tainted.
CBS's Stephanie Lambert at the Justice Department. She's out of the hospital. Britney Spears was quietly released from the psych ward at UCLA Medical Center today. The court recently put Spears and her estate under her father's control, removing a manager who had enraged the rest of the family with his tactics. And she's lost all visitation rights to her children for the time being. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You know, I've gotten anniversary gifts and birthday gifts, but never a Welcome to Our Rewards program gift. Until now. To celebrate Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels joining the Choice Privileges Rewards program, I get up to triple points. That means I'm on my way to earning free nights in no time. And to think, I didn't get them anything. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com. We'll see you there.
Earn 5 base points, 5 bonus points, and 5 more points for registering online before check-in. Valid 2-1 through 4-17-08. Visit choicehotels.com for details.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
One, two, three,
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so and if I know for sure.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Originating in San Francisco. And it's another exciting day behind the microphone. We've got the results in from the Super Tuesday contests. And in the big picture, Barack Obama bested Hillary Clinton by 9 delegates. And he won more states than she did, but not some of the big states like Massachusetts. That went solidly for Clinton, and California, which Hillary won by about 10 points. And just before showtime, we called Sacramento to check in with the Secretary of State's office. Many had predicted that California would still be counting ballots over the next couple of days. And despite the sharp restrictions on electronic voting machines imposed by Deborah Bowen, as of this hour, about 95% of the ballots in California have been counted. Well, let me correct myself. 95% of the precincts have reported in. And it still is about a 10.5-point advantage for Senator Clinton. In a moment, Carl Frisch will join us from Media Matters and will recap last night's televised coverage of Super Tuesday. Also this hour, Michael Ratner, the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, will weigh in. The Bush administration has had some setbacks from the federal courts on its desire to treat Gitmo detainees in a fashion that narrows their rights to defend themselves. We'll also talk about the CIA torture videos, the comments yesterday on Capitol Hill that we've only waterboarded 3 people, and that was 5 years ago, and we're not doing it anymore. I'm not sure I believe that, but we'll find out more from Michael Ratner, and also ask his opinion about the debate underway in the Senate this week about what I call amnesty for the telephone companies that collaborated with the Bush administration's illegal spying program on Americans. Also on today's program, California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, a Democrat who supports Hillary Clinton, will let him take a victory lap next hour and also talk about the defeat of Proposition 93, which would have changed the term limits rules in California and extended the shelf life of some 42 elected officials who now will be forced to either retire or, in some cases, move over to a different house of the legislature. Room for your calls along the way, too, and we'll get some expert commentary from progressive Mike Lux to kick off our free speech zone. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join in whenever the urge strikes you. Just call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Media Matters watches the media, monitors their efforts, and critiques them as needed. And if you've been to the website, it's needed quite a bit. Carl Frisch represents Media Matters for America. Hello, Carl.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to talk to you today. Thanks for
talking to you.
Thanks for joining us. So just in a broad, open-ended softball question, what did you think of the coverage of Super Tuesday, particularly on the cable news channels last night?
Did that happen yesterday? Well, you know, it was interesting watching, you know, there were a couple states that were called and then called back and then called again.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of funny. I kept on waiting for them to call Florida for Bush. You know, it was more of what we've come to realize. You know, there was a lot of speculating long before polls in the West had closed,
mm-hmm.
Which I know a lot of people generally have problems with. And it's interesting watching the pundits try to talk around exit polls that don't play into what they're talking about on a nightly basis. So you've got Obama, who's not supposed to be able to win anything besides African Americans winning in various geographic areas all over the country.
Like North Dakota.
Winning in the South, winning some states in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Latinos, by and large, maybe not in California, but in other states, splitting their votes pretty evenly between Hillary and Obama, which doesn't play into the narrative that conservatives, at least in the media and on Fox, have tried to push, that you know, there's some kind of rift between the black and brown segments of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a tour de force, and you know, certain people were in rare form, of course. You know, Matthews is a self-avowed big fan of John McCain, so
ha!
It was fun to watch him too.
Somebody's got to put a lid on that guy when he starts cackling that way.
Well, you know, we have a little venture on our website now called
Yes,
Matthews Monitor,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great resource for anybody who's interested in you know, in particular, holding Matthews accountable. People can visit it, MatthewsMonitor.com.
Well, and
every day with the latest on Matthews.
Maybe you should have an audio track that loads automatically when people go to that page, just
people
with a series of his laughs. I don't get that guy.
Yeah.
I actually knew Chris Matthews when he was a struggling print journalist.
Oh, yeah.
He was a different kind of guy. He's always been rapid fire and hard to interrupt. But certainly he's gone into a whole different orbit since he got the TV show and the way he handles it.
It's not surprising. You know, I think the Philly Inquirer at one point reported about how Roger Ailes basically talent scouted him. So it's not surprising that, you know, that's his shtick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot from the hip, whatever you want to call it. Perhaps he needs to think a little bit more before he speaks.
Yeah. Well, I do give Media Matters a lot of credit because in recent weeks you put a lot of pressure on him and his bosses. And he did manage a kind of half-hearted apology, but he couldn't quite include Media Matters in the list of people he apologized to.
You know, as long as, and you know, really what it was about was focusing attention on it. And I think the real apology is, you know, owed to the American people. And, you know, they made their voices heard. It was reported that he didn't want to make the apology or the mea culpa, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But that he was getting too much pressure from his bosses at NBC, that he had to.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting to watch. I mean, this is a guy who, he may not have the largest audience on cable. He certainly doesn't. But among the media elite, among those that follow politics closely, he has a tremendous following.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's all the more important to monitor and hold accountable.
Indeed. Carl Frisch with us from Media Matters. If you want to weigh in with your comments on particularly the cable news channel's coverage of the Super Tuesday returns, feel free to give us a call now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. There was a funny-looking guy with a white shirt and a green tie there on the Fox News Channel set. And I have to admit that ordinarily I use my V-chip to disable access to the Fox News Channel, but I did an override last night, and I did peek at Karl Rove a couple of times, And also Bill Kristol was there on the set. And Fox talks about how fair and balanced they are. And here they brought on Karl Rove, the architect of the neocons' victories, and some say the guy whose fingerprints are on a couple of stolen elections. And, of course, nary a negative word about, his own legal challenges, his failure to respond to subpoenas from the congressional committees, etc. But what was interesting for me, Carl, is that on the set they had Karl Rove with Chris Wallace, and that was when they were talking about Republicans. Then when they talked about Democrats, Rove stepped out, and Harold Ford, a very conservative Democrat, was there to comment on Democratic races. And I'm just wondering if you've done any research about when the last time a real liberal was actually cited on a set at the Fox News Channel.
I think I'd have to contact a cryptozoologist to figure that one out. But, what you see, and I've seen a lot of speculation about this online, and perhaps it deserves a better look, that a lot of times, and I've had it intimated to me by reporters, that Fox will snatch up talent with big paychecks and then not put them on television. You'll often see, Democratic consultant or Democratic, operative, and, people will just be scratching their heads all over D.C. saying, who is that person?
Mm-hmm.
They've certainly never operated on anything I've been involved in.
Yeah. Be willing to sign up to be paid by Rupert Murdoch, not to say anything.
Well, in Rove's case, I thought it was the interesting thing there was that he was on their network. I mean, he's used to calling the shots at Fox News from further away.
Well, and they're back together again in ways that aren't not terribly apparent on TV, but
just in time for Valentine's Day.
You can certainly smell it. Yeah. Now, what about Bill Kristol? Many people, Mark Crispin Miller, for example, from NYU, has been spearheading an email campaign to stop the New York Times from running Bill Kristol's op-ed column.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if Media Matters has weighed in on this. I haven't actually seen anything on your site about it.
Well, we haven't done anything on that in particular, but what we have done is we've looked at his first few columns there. We've also looked at how he apparently is in violation of the Times ethics policies, and that the New York Times even shifted their policies to conform to being able to hire Kristol.
Hmm.
McCain was bragging about it as early as last year about how Kristol was advising his Senate campaign, that he was one of his advisors, which is, a clear violation of the Times policy. So, it wouldn't be the first time. I think it was Krautheimer and one of the other, intelligentsia of the Republican Party that were writing op-eds like they do every week and, helping at the same time to write George Bush's second inaugural address.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not surprising. There are other things. He's also, still involved with the Weekly Standard and sits on the board of the Manhattan Institute, which also violate New York Times ethics policies.
Yeah.
So there's certainly an argument to be made. At Media Matters, we never say that it's not okay to be a conservative. I mean, we may question your judgment on that, but it's okay to have a conservative point of view as long as it's an honest conservative point
mm-hmm.
of view.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that's not what you get with Kristol, and obviously the Times could find somebody else.
I agree, and I do believe in free speech rights, even with for right-wingers that I have deep disagreements with, as long as it's based on principle and they are not shills or propagandists who
right.
do not disclose their true connections and personal interests.
Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, a whole lot of them can say whatever they want, as long as they're being honest. It would put us out of work, but, it would be a better day.
Carl Frisch with us from Media Matters. We're going to take a break. Visit their website at mediamatters.org. When we return, we'll talk about the National Journal and their unfairness to Barack Obama. And, we'll talk about how they've pulled some punches there. Also, I want to weigh in favor of Montel Williams. I have never, ever watched his television show, but he spoke truth on the Fox News Channel last week. And now his syndicated chat show has been canceled due to the non-renewal by Fox television stations. We'll talk about that as we continue. And if you want to join in, the number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast, and I'm inviting you to join me starting this Sunday to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540. What you know.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines available if you want to check in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights will join us about 10 minutes from now. We'll talk about Guantanamo Bay and America's torture policies.
To pay the rent, to pay our share.
Carl Frisch. Frisch is with us from Media Matters for America. Their website, of course, mediamatters.org. And Carl, right up on the homepage today, an interesting item comparing the National Journal's treatment of two presidential candidates, Barack Obama and John McCain. And it's fair to say that many of these senators have been missing a lot of action in the Senate because they've been out on the campaign trail. And so it produces a kind of false measure if you take a look at whether they were present, whether they voted or not on specific issues. But what's the disparate treatment you found related to Obama and McCain?
Well, you know, just a couple days ago, National Journal put out a story saying that Barack Obama was the most liberal, senator in the Senate. And, you know, that to make their case and try and get some publicity, they put out an email to their subscribers that said, "We expect this story will have immediate traction in the media and blogosphere and water coolers around the country. In 2004, President Bush invoked Senator John Kerry's liberal vote rating score repeatedly on the campaign trail and in their head-to-head debates."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's interesting is that the email doesn't mention that they've had to revise their methodology because of problems with how they calculated it for John Kerry, which, oddly enough, was centered around the fact that Kerry was campaigning so much. So while Kerry got the ranking as the most liberal, John McCain hasn't showed up for enough of work to be ranked at all. And that's not even a side note in their email.
Yeah.
On top of that, the votes that they chose, as liberal votes, were things like wanting to institute the 9/11 commission recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
If you voted for that, which, by the way, was, you know, a 70-30 issue, the American people support it, that's a liberal vote.
Right. Well, it's amusing to me as a lefty, Carl, to see the Republicans try to tag each other as humo-liberal, and to see it working, where Romney is being perceived as more conservative than John McCain.
Correct.
And I don't agree with McCain on most things, but I can identify that he has a very consistent conservative voting record.
He absolutely does. You know, he's become brilliant, you know, and I worked on his campaign in 2000. I've had a conversion since then and a bit of repentance.
Oh.
But, you know, he's become extremely adept and talented
mm-hmm.
at choosing issues that are extremely popular with the American people and then that his party is not in support of, and then trumpeting those things. And it's given him the stigma in the media that's been fueled by the media for
mm-hmm.
years.
Well, that's an interesting tidbit, Carl. And offline, we'll have to share some stories about Andrea Jones, okay? Let's go to the phones. Luis in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
I'm just wanting to find out, because we talked about the Media Matters. Chris Matthews seems like he has a thing against Hillary. Yesterday when I was watching the TV,
mm-hmm.
he was praising Obama in my way too much and trying to make, like, Hispanics were against Obama because they're racist.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're not, because I'm Hispanic. I think the guy inspires to any kind of gender or, you know, I don't think that exists. I don't know why he was making that kind of comments.
Right.
Well, he's obsessed with that kind of commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the exit polls show that that's not accurate, that Hispanics voted their conscience in this election. You know, more Hispanics voted for Hillary in California. That's accurate. But nationwide, it pretty much split between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't put a finger in the eye of the prognosticators who claimed that there was some kind of racial turmoil going on between...
And may I say something different, too? I mean, something that... and I know this, my Hispanic community is... They used to have a... They think Hillary knows how to do things. He has experience.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people that I know has some knowledge
right.
in politics
mm-hmm.
because she's been there and done that.
Right. Luis, I appreciate your comment today. And, Carl, just before we run out of time, I want to mention that Montel Williams is my media hero. I've never
yeah.
watched his cheesy talk show, but he went on a Fox News weekend show and ripped into them for exploiting the death of Heath Ledger and compared their lack of coverage to American soldiers who've been dying in Iraq. And for it, the Fox News stations backed out of renewals for Montel's show, and he is now unemployed because he spoke his mind.
And he was on the air for, what, 16 years?
Right. Thank you, Carl Frisch from Media Matters. Next, Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The Asian stock markets took a nosedive overnight in reaction to the nosedive Wall Street took yesterday. 370-point drop on the Dow. It's not just that they're copycats, it's because the world economy depends so much on the U.S. economy. Over here, overnight, and in the wee hours of this morning, stock futures were up. And that's not because we're trying to fake the Asian investors out, it's because there are bargains to be found now. Sell high, buy low is the way you make money in the stock market. The market hates uncertainty, including the uncertainty about recession. Is one coming? Are we already in one?
Wall Street now appears convinced that the recession is already here.
And in an odd way, says CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus, that's good news.
The good news is if we are in a recession, most economists believe this is a mild one and that we will be able to recover by the second half of 2008.
More after this.
This is a rate alert for February 2008. The Federal Reserve continues to cut interest rates aggressively. Right now, mortgage rates are hovering near lows we haven't seen since 2003. National mortgage leader Quicken Loans reports interest rates around 5.75% on secure fixed-rate loans, APR 5.91%. Smart homeowners are acting quickly to get fixed rates around 5.75% since rates this low seldom last long and tend to move up quickly without warning. Call Quicken Loans at 800-591-3522. In minutes, you can lock in a fixed rate around 5.75% and enjoy lower house payments for years to come. If you missed it in 2003, this is your opportunity for a fixed-rate mortgage around 5.75%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-591-3522. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-591-3522. That's 800-591-3522.
What triggered the nosedive on Wall Street yesterday was a report on this country's service sector. Julia Coronado of Barclays Capital Group.
Employers are getting more conservative on hiring. They're seeing slower orders. 14 industries reported that activity was slowing, so whereas only 3 industries said it was expanding.
What did that mean? Alexis Christophorus.
This latest report on the service sector is proof that problems are no longer restricted to just housing and manufacturing, that now problems in the economy are spreading to retail and to banking and restaurants. And this accounts for 2/3 of our economy. And now we have proof that area is in trouble, and it's leading many to say, you know what, we're already in a recession.
Let's say for a moment that's true. It's not the end of the world. It just means there is a business cycle, and there's every reason to think it will be a short and mild one. Julia Coronado.
The Fed has been very aggressive. The federal government is talking about injecting some pretty hefty stimulus into the economy.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 33 minutes after the hour. Our music of the moment from the band Tears for Fears. This one's called The Prisoner. My Michael Ratner joins us this half hour. He is president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, and they're on the front lines defending our rights by speaking up and advocating for and legally representing detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, and other parts of the American gulag around the world. Michael Ratner, welcome back to our program.
Peter, it's always nice to be with you.
Well, I'm always gratified at the work that you do because these are very difficult times. And just recently, Barbara Olshansky, who used to be part of your staff, was on our program describing the bizarre sequence of events, the Valentine card that she received a few years back that was a whistleblower's attempt to give you a list of all the detainees at Guantanamo Bay. And the problems that arose from that, your suspicions that this was a trap set by our own government, you operate under very difficult circumstances in a very polarized time in this country.
Oh, it's true. I mean, you never know what the government's up to. I mean, we're sure we're electronically surveilled. You have as I'm sure you know and we'll probably talk about, just yesterday we have the CIA admitting that they torture waterboarded three people. They don't call it torture. They call it waterboarding, but it's really water torture. Well, you can get that and not even have it on the front page of the Times and have no public outcry.
Yeah.
You have a serious problem.
Serious
problem. Not just with the Bush administration, but with members of Congress from both parties who knew about this, didn't do anything. And still today, we don't see anything being done.
Yeah. Well, and we do have some debate underway in the United States Senate. We'll probably touch on this too, Michael, about the amnesty provision for telecommunications companies that colluded with the Bush administration to violate our constitutional rights and to intentionally break the terms of the FISA law. And this continues to be this very polite discussion. I interviewed Tom Daschle, the former majority leader, just a couple of weeks ago in Washington, and he was making the case for the telecom groups.
You know, what's amazing to me is whatever case you can make yes or no for the telecoms, it's not up to Congress. It's up to the courts. There's 40 lawsuits against various telecoms, and that's a decision the court should make, whether they're liable for violating the law or not.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly violated the law. The question is whether a court's going to let them off with some excuse. But the Congress coming in and telling the courts how to decide cases is really contrary to fundamental aspects of our Constitution called separation of powers.
Well, and on that basis, let's dive into the legal wrangling that's going on between the Bush administration and the courts regarding the processes for trying detainees in these so-called tribunals that have been envisioned by the Bush administration. Linda Greenhouse has an excellent article in today's New York Times describing these two legal setbacks for the Bush administration. And one of them is a little bit easier to grapple and understand than the other. But essentially, the Bush administration has been attempting to assert that its processes under the Military Commissions Act and the Detainee Treatment Act are consistent with the Constitution. And the D.C. Court of Appeals has now twice ruled that that is not the case. Give us a little explanation that we can understand, those of us who are not attorneys, Michael.
Well, I'm glad you raised this, and I'm glad Linda Greenhouse tackled it in an article that is good, and because it's a difficult issue. There's really two cases now. The fundamental case is whether or not people at Guantanamo who have been in prison now for 6 years have a habeas corpus right, the right to go to court and test their detention. We have argued recently, and that case is pending in the Supreme Court, waiting for decision, that the habeas clause of the Constitution extends to Guantanamo. We think we're going to win. So that's case number one. But throughout our history, Congress has been allowed by the courts to put an adequate substitute in place of habeas just so it fulfills the major requirements of habeas, the right to be in court, the right to present your evidence, really it's called an adequate substitute. And so what Congress did here, Congress said, first of all, we don't think there's any habeas right, so forget it. And then they did put in some kind of rump procedure, both at Guantanamo and then an appeal to another court, and that's the second case. Our initial claim in the Supreme Court was that there's a right to habeas and there's no adequate substitute in this rump procedure. Now what's happened is the lower courts have expanded the rump procedure so it's arguably a little bit more robust. And what Linda Greenhouse is trying to say today, on the one hand, the Guantanamo attorneys are saying they have a right to habeas. On the other hand, now they've gotten a more robust procedure. It may mean that even if they have a right to habeas, that this more robust procedure is going to be a substitute for what they're doing. Basically, Peter, I don't know how to say this, but this thing is one huge mess, and it's a mess because for 6 years this government has denied even the most basic rights of anyone at Guantanamo to go to court and say, give me the legal reasons you're holding me.
Mm-hmm.
The government has refused to do it, and we've waited 6 years to do that. And so now, there's 100 pieces of litigation floating out there trying to do this. Congress has interfered twice. And so you have a situation now that has basically left people rotting in prison.
Well,
without rights.
And the administration is appealing directly to the Supreme Court, where they're hoping to get a sympathetic hearing, particularly from the freshest justices, the Chief John Roberts and Sam Alito, the new associate.
It'll be interesting to see what comes out of this court. Because on one hand, there's this fundamental habeas issue, and on the other hand, are they going to force the government to actually furnish the information to the lawyers for Guantanamo detainees, to the center and our other lawyers, that arguably would give them some basis for holding people? It's just remarkable to me. I mean, it's a completely Kafkaesque business right now. People without even knowing why they're in prison.
Well, and Michael Ratner, it's underscored and it's exacerbated by the political climate, the political season. I've been telling my listeners about this snippet that I heard as I was secretly listening to a right-wing radio show the other day. And Liz Cheney came on, who I later found out is actually a consultant to the Romney campaign. And there she was invoking her father and instructing Republicans not to vote for Mike Huckabee, that's a waste, and definitely not to vote for John McCain because he is soft on the war on terrorism and he wants to close Guantanamo Bay. And the only reliable guy who will keep Gitmo open and embrace the Bush-Cheney legacy on torture policy is Mitt Romney. And to hear this all going on, and I'm not a John McCain supporter by any means, but to, you know, the one thing that I have respected him for in the last 3 years were his efforts to challenge Cheney and the administration on torture policy and these ugly, very public negotiating sessions where he was attempting to get the White House back on a constitutional track. And they skunked him and they humiliated him, but he has pressed on without really admitting it. But to hear this kind of a whisper campaign promoting torture, promoting Guantanamo Bay as positive developments under Bush and Cheney, it just is sickening, Michael.
It is sickening, and Romney has actually said he wants the size of Guantanamo doubled and says he favors, quote, enhanced interrogation techniques, which is torture. It's the word that was actually used by the Nazis. So to hear Cheney's daughter lauding that position is amazing, and to hear them criticize McCain, who is, you know, he's been okay on this issue, hasn't been as tough as I would like to see him, but he's at least raised it. He got the McCain amendment through that banned cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment. Basically, the administration said they would veto it unless he allowed some changes in it, which he unfortunately had to do, but he has at least stood for that, and that's in this world right now. He's probably, I mean, I have to say, in some ways, he's one of the stronger candidates on that issue.
Yeah, yeah. And I wish we heard more. Barack Obama does talk about closing Guantanamo Bay. I haven't heard similar statements from Senator Clinton. Have you?
Well, both of them have said it. The difference is that Obama actually talks about it in his speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Clinton has actually said she would close Guantanamo. But, you know, I'm used to this kind of language from presidents before. President Clinton actually said it would close the Guantanamo refugee camp for HIV Haitians. He told us that before he was elected. He got elected and refused to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So even if a promise to me is not good enough, what you're going to have to do is keep fighting to close it, because it's easier for people who take the presidency to just sort of let it dwindle around for a while.
Michael Ratner is with us, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights. Their website, ccr-ny.org. That's ccr-ny.org. Now, Michael, yesterday, Michael Hayden, the director of the CIA, went up on Capitol Hill and told the Senate Intelligence Committee waterboarding has been used on only 3 detainees. And he said that it goes back 5 years, late 2001, early 2002. He names Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri, and Mohammed al-Zubaydah, who we already knew about. And they want us to believe that this is the entire file on the use of waterboarding, at least explicitly, in these interrogations. Just tell me how much of this you believe.
I don't believe any of it. And I don't believe anything this administration says, basically, about anything. I mean, there were 14 people at secret sites. They now acknowledge, they initially said two, now they say three. And my suspicion is that there were others waterboarded as well. We certainly know a number of others were tortured, but I think it was much more frequent than they're saying. The question I have is how deeply have they buried the corpses on that? You know, we have attorneys who are representing some people from one of the secret sites, and they're under high security clearance, and so they cannot tell me whether their clients were waterboarded or not. And every time they write a piece of paper, it has to go through a classification review. And the last piece of paper they wrote, what I was allowed to read, was our client was tortured in the following way, and there were four pages blanked out of the manner in which he was tortured.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that man was waterboarding. I obviously don't know it. They can't tell me that. But that kind of taking out of the information makes me feel that. And, of course, they're under court orders. They can't say anything. Even what he says is classified. He can't say anything either.
Mm-hmm.
So will we ever know? I think we probably will. Will we know soon? I don't know. But I don't think that that Hayden was telling the truth about that. I don't think also, this is public, that he was telling the truth about that was the only two waterboarding or torture tapes that were the tapes were destroyed for two of these people who were waterboarded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
According to our clients at the center, their torture was taped as well.
Michael, you remember the curious phrase that Richard Nixon used at the height of the Watergate scandal when he sat there in front of those binders and said, "This is a complete story from the secret taping system of the White House." And later, in listening to other tapes, we learned that he described it as the limited hangout route, which was to, put little morsels out and say, "This is everything," and just hope that the situation will go away on its own. Are we seeing a limited hangout from Hayden and the CIA on this?
I think for sure. I mean, the whole tape story is almost a cover. I mean, they say, where everybody's focused on the destruction of the tapes and not focused on the fact that this country was involved in torture in a widespread way, waterboarding, and many, many other types of torture. So I think we're seeing little bits of information come out. This one was shocking to me. You know, we talked about the Linda Greenhouse article in the Times today.
Mm-hmm.
The waterboarding piece was not even close to the front page.
Yeah.
It was buried in an article somewhere. And the question you have to ask yourself is when torture has become as routine, when the CIA finally admits it to be buried in a paper, you have a serious problem in the country.
Yeah, we got more coverage of the detention of Britney Spears by some guy who was hired by the family to be her minder than we did about this important testimony on Capitol Hill.
It's true. I was amazed by it.
And we have Senator Dick Durbin calling for prosecution, or at least an investigation leading to prosecution. And this doubles back to the inability of the new Attorney General, Judge Mukasey, to take a position on waterboarding. It's now coming into some sharper relief exactly why he has been dodging that so assiduously.
Of course, you and I know, always suspected it was because he didn't want to have to criminally prosecute his bosses. One thing that came out of Hayden's testimony, speaking of criminal prosecution of bosses, Hayden said that he reserved the right to use waterboarding again, saying we're not using it right now, but I can use it again and it's not torture. And then he says if we use it again, and it has to be approved by the Attorney General, the Justice Department, and give a legal opinion again, whatever, and then it has to be approved by the President. So what that indicates to me is these past waterboardings, whether there was 1, 2, 3, or 10, were approved by the President, which really, it's clearly violative of our domestic law. There's a criminal statute
mm-hmm.
prohibiting waterboarding and giving you a very long jail sentence, a death penalty if your person dies as a result of torture. And there you see it. president basically himself apparently approved waterboarding.
And another challenge to the media here, they have reported in the case of the destruction of the CIA videotapes of torture processes that each technique that was used was subject to a cable from Washington approving the use of that technique. And yet I sent a letter to the editor to the New York Times. They had a powerful editorial at the end of the year describing just that. And I said, well, didn't it cause you to say, gosh, can we see those cables? We'd like to know who actually authorized this. And yet our media seems either uninterested or unwilling to pursue those.
And why hasn't Congress asked for all of them? Why isn't Congress investigating the torture program in this country, ask for those cables, and if they don't get them, try to hold people in contempt? I mean, they've really taken a position here of allowing this to continue, and it's a really sad situation. In fact, you know, when you read about the waterboarding, apparently, the Intelligence Committee was told about it. Apparently, Nancy Pelosi was told about it.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Michael Ratner. We'll pick up on those videotapes that the CIA has destroyed and talk about how they implicate the 9/11 Commission. Did they really dig in to try to find the facts? That's straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest, Michael Ratner, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Holistic and alternative practitioners and individuals love the energy from the Amethyst Biomat. It offers natural and effective heat therapy in NASA-based technology. Far infrared heat simulates the immune system by causing an artificial fever and stimulating the immune system with multiple benefits. Improve many bodily problems with alkalizing your pH, removing acidic waste deposits responsible for most illnesses. Just lie on it to benefit with five different sizes. Give the power to create a fever and cure most diseases. To find out more about what the Amethyst Biomat can do for you, visit www.amethystbiomat.com. That's AmethystBiomat.com. Or call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262. That's 1-888-337-7262.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
So easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is a real freedom fighter, Michael Ratner, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights based in New York City. And, Michael, I wanted to come back to the CIA's destruction of the videotapes of the torture applied to Abu Zubaydah, and perhaps they have tapes of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed as well. Part of this unravels the work of the 9/11 Commission. Because Kane and Hamilton have gone public. In fact, Lee Hamilton was supposed to be on our program and canceled because they were livid that their requests for information like the videotapes were spurned or stonewalled by the CIA. And this takes on deeper implications because we now know more about Phil Zelikow, who was sent by the White House to put a leash on the 9/11 Commission, and he did so. And we now know that he took calls from and returned calls to Karl Rove during the operations of the 9/11 Commission, and he had explicitly promised not to coordinate his efforts with the White House while he was managing that enterprise. What's your take on this, and what does it unravel?
Peter, I'm glad you're talking about this. You know, this is so far a major underplayed scandal. I mean, an outrage. What has happened here is apparently the key chapters of the 9/11 Commission, chapters 5, 6, and 7, which concern Al-Qaeda, its targeting of the United States, their making of many threats, their past actions, and the story of the attacks themselves were based primarily, if not almost entirely, on interrogations that were conducted under torture, most likely waterboarding, of Zubaydah and of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, as well as of others. And the question you have to ask yourself is it true? Is it not true? Look, I'm not saying it's not true what they said, but evidence taken under torture is considered unreliable. It's considered not trustworthy. And in most of the cases, they did not have verification outside of the torture. So that's one very, I don't know what to say, very amazing fact that has just recently been revealed. When you go through the footnotes to those three chapters, they're based on 100 interrogations of people, many of whom were under torture. Now, you ask yourself, did the 9/11 Commission know that? Well, you know, there's been some statements that have come out. They suspected it. It might be, but they never asked the question. Whatever, I don't know what Hamilton or Kane's position was on this, but they met with Tennant. They asked to see the people, of course, who they had the interrogation logs of. But did they ever ask the question? Apparently not. Were these taken under torture or under coercion? Now, they certainly must have suspected that. That's what people have said. So that's one fact that is stunning if you think about it. It may be that those chapters are true, that they're valid. I don't know one way or another. But I do know that it was evidence taken under torture. And you have to say to yourself, it makes you question the reliability of those three chapters in a very serious way.
Right. And David Ray Griffin has written a brilliant analysis of the failures of the 9/11 Commission called Debunking 9/11 Debunking. And I recommend that to anybody who'd like to drill deeper into that report. Anything else you'd like to say about that, Michael?
Well, there's another issue. You know, after they were working on the report and they had 100 interrogation logs that they, as I said, suspected came from torture, they needed more answers to questions that they had. And so they went back to the CIA with another series of questions, and the CIA did 30 more interrogations, apparently, and gave them the logs. When they made that second request, think about this, Peter, they were suspecting that torture was used. So they made a second request for more information, this is the 9/11 Commission, with the knowledge, very likely, that torture was going to be used. It not only makes the results questionable, it implicates them in actually in torture.
Yeah. Michael, just about
sad, sad situation, boy.
Well, we will continue to pursue this, too, because people need to pay attention to it and understand what has been going on here. Michael, in 30 seconds or a little more, just one more comment, please, about the Senate debate about the NSA spying program on Americans and the effort to give immunity to the telephone companies.
Well, it's an outrage. We have 40 cases against telephone companies that violated the law, criminal law. Of course, Bush did as well. And now, rather than let the court process proceed as it should in an American court, you have members of the Senate, unfortunately a lot of Democrats, and you have Harry Reid himself, the leader, putting that legislation up with the immunity provision so the president won't veto it. It's an utter and complete sellout, And it's not about national security. It's not about feeling bad for the telephone companies. It's really about saying the role of the courts in this society is to decide who did what and whether they're liable for what they did. This is not a place in which Congress decides court cases.
Yeah. Michael Ratner, thanks again. Appreciate your work. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Peter.
Visit the website ccr-ny.org, the Center for Constitutional Rights. We've been talking with Michael Ratner.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The worst tornadoes in decades.
I just heard like this big old roaring noise. It's like a freight train coming through.
More than 50 people are dead. Hillary Clinton digs into her own pocket.
I loaned the campaign $5 million from my money.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. This man's family in Arkansas survived a twister.
We're doing all right. We're just thankful that we're alive and everybody's okay.
Of course, not everyone is. Dozens of tornadoes ripping through the South killed at least 54 people and injured hundreds. CBS News correspondent Peter King went from covering the Mike Huckabee campaign to the devastated town of Atkins, Arkansas.
Above the roar of the chainsaws, you can hear people talk about what used to be here on Route 105.
This is the living room and kitchen. That was a den.
Yeah. Now when you look up in this house, all you see is...
sky. All sky.
There's no roof.
Brad Schmall and Carrie Dodson say the miracle is that six people survived here. They hid in a bathroom with a ceiling reinforced to help support his disabled cousin. It's the only room left where you can't see the sky. Peter King, CBS News, Atkins, Arkansas.
This is Jim Crisula in Nashville, Tennessee. Even in a state accustomed to tornadoes, the death toll and scope of damage and destruction are staggering. The storms have left huge trucks crumpled and tossed like toys along highways and killed dozens and trapped others and shattered and shredded and splintered houses, factories, college dormitories, and stores.
President Bush will visit Tennessee on Friday. Now this.
Taking care of business.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with 49-cent color copy to make sure your work stands out. Only at Office Depot will Xerox-certified print specialists bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, flyers, and more. So hurry into Office Depot today and get your business noticed. Office Depot, taking care of business with 49-cent color copies. Valid for letter and legal-size single-sided copies on up to 28-pound paper stock.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax limits.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
Hillary Clinton acknowledged today that heading into Super Tuesday, she loaned her campaign $5 million.
I believe very strongly in this campaign. We had a great month fundraising in January. Broke all records, but my opponent was able to raise more money. And we intended to be competitive, and we were. And I think the results last night proved the wisdom of my investment.
She and Barack Obama remain locked in a tight race, even though the Illinois senator claims victory last night.
We won more delegates. And we won more states in every region of this country. We won big states and small states. We won red states and we won blue states. and we won swing states.
Obama's delegate count might show him ahead, but Vaughn Verver, senior political editor at CBSNews.com, takes issue with that.
CBS News has Hillary Clinton with an overall delegate lead, although fairly slight, over Barack Obama.
All the candidates won their home states last night, but Republican McCain says he won bigger than his chief rival.
We won by a much larger margin in Arizona than Governor Romney did in Massachusetts. So I'm very pleased with the overall turnout.
Mitt Romney spent the day meeting with his advisors. Senate Republicans, in a vote late today, blocked the Democrats' effort to add $40 billion to the economic stimulus bill. Dozens of cats and dogs died in this country. Many more were sickened after eating pet food that contained a tainted ingredient from China. Now, CBS News reporter Stephanie Labadaka says the Justice Department has announced the indictment of two Chinese companies along with an American firm.
The indictments reveal just how an unsafe additive known as melamine made its way into the entire pet food supply chain. The scheme allegedly started with a company in China that used the additive to save money. Then the broker that shipped the ingredients put a false label on the shipments to fool Chinese inspectors. Then the American company that sold the products to pet food makers allegedly knew the labels were false, but there is no allegation that the company knew the ingredients themselves were tainted.
The charges against Las Vegas-based Chem Nutra include introducing adulterated and misbranded food into interstate commerce. The New York City medical examiner says actor Heath Ledger died accidentally by taking a lethal combination of sleeping pills, prescription painkillers, and anti-anxiety drugs. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa. Replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12/31/08.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, it's Super Wednesday. Are you ready to supersize it? You want fries with that? The Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're going to take lots of phone calls this hour, get your reaction to the outcome of Super Tuesday in California. Lieutenant Governor Garamendi will join us here in just a moment. But you can get on the line and share your reaction at 888-5-PETER-B.
Somebody I never met, but in a way I know. Supposed to be, don't like no average.
And let's see, I'm just going to hit refresh here. Hopefully the same page will come back up. And we're taking a look at the returns. We're showing that 98.5% of California's precincts have reported their results. And this comes as a surprise because of so many precincts and counties using hand-counted paper ballots. We expected the vote count to take a lot longer. Now, maybe it's been eased because there are fewer Democratic candidates, for example. Only two remained active on the ballot. But it did come out in the popular vote 52% for Hillary Clinton and 42.4% for Barack Obama. That, again, with 98.5% of precincts reporting. And nationwide, the Obama campaign is claiming claiming that they picked up 9 more delegates on Super Tuesday than the Clinton campaign did. And what it means is that net-net, Hillary Clinton is a little more than 100 delegates ahead of Barack Obama at this point. So it's a very tight, very competitive race. John Garamendi is California's lieutenant governor. He served in the Interior Department in the Clinton administration, and he is a supporter of Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. John, you want to take a victory lap?
Well, I think America should take a victory lap, and particularly the Democrats should take a victory lap. It was a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday for Democrats and for America because of the involvement. People were out, interested, the highest number of votes ever, voters ever, in a primary election. We're probably going to get very close to 9 million California voters. Two very, very good candidates. Yes, I do support Hillary. I think she's the best of the two to deal with all of the issues that confront us. But it's extraordinary. I mean, we got a woman and a black on the Democratic side. We ought to take a victory lap and say, good for us.
Well, that's very kind of you. And I guess you've learned over the years never to gloat.
Well, I played football at Berkeley, and we lost a lot of games in the last few minutes of the fourth quarter, so don't get ahead of it.
Yeah. It is very exciting. I have to say I share your sense in just hearing my listeners so active and involved and well-informed. And it's been interesting to see, since John Edwards dropped out, people settle into a difficult choice in some cases for one of these top two candidates, Obama and Clinton. But even in that process, I think that there has been a real sense of building for consensus, and that, you know, regardless of who the ultimate Democratic nominee is, we're not going to have an extension of the Bush dynasty if a Democrat is elected next year.
Well, exactly right. One of my favorite lines that I've used during the course of this campaign is, it's actually Hillary's line, it's that it took a Clinton to clean up the first Bush mess, and it'll take a Clinton to clean up the second Bush mess. The reality is that the horrible situation that George W. Bush and the Republican Party has gotten us into has got to be put aside, and we as America have an incredibly difficult task, but incredibly important task, to reestablish this country on a path that doesn't lead to wars. It gets us out of the wars that we're in, does deal with the terrorism issue, which is very real and extremely important to us, and the economy and health care and environment and global warming, all of these things are things that have been, frankly, made worse over the last 7+ years now, mm-hmm. by the George W. Bush and his team. So it's a huge task and extremely important, not only for us who are alive today, but for future generations. And I think we've got the Democratic team in place. I'm calling for a Clinton-Obama team going into the November election. Just incredible two incredible people that mm-hmm. have enormous strengths, different talents to be sure, but and Congress and the Senate. I mean, we need to really focus there.
Right. We do need 60 votes in the Senate for either health care plan to pass. And this is one of the things I've seen people get really fixated on, the details, mandates versus no mandates. And I think we have to really understand that these are proposals. They represent the best thinking of these two campaigns.
Yeah.
But neither one is a lock. And we saw what happened during the first Clinton administration, and I give Hillary a lot of credit for what she attempted to do, the breadth of it, and some of the secrecy of those meetings created targets that I think were unnecessary. But the bottom line is that what Hillary tried to do in 93 and 94 really put the healthcare industry on notice throughout the entire Clinton presidency, that they couldn't just raise rates at will, drop people from policies at will. And as the former insurance commissioner, you know a little bit about that.
Well, I certainly do, and had a lot to do with the early days, the early versions of the Clinton health plan. In fact, during the campaign in 92, Bill Clinton used my plan for the campaign. Later, it became far too complex, and some mistakes were made. And one of the advantages that Hillary has going into the presidency is that she is the best prepared and most knowledgeable about what is, what can be done, what must be done, and how it can get done, you know, where the problems are. You don't go through the kind of defeat that she has without being a whole lot wiser coming out of it. And she's developed, I think, a very good plan. Your point, it's not about just the details. If we don't have 60 votes in the Senate that are willing to go along with any proposal, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so the U.S. Senate becomes extremely important, and there's an opportunity because of the retirement of a large number of Republican senators.
20, I think it's 28 and counting. That's in the House.
In the House, and maybe the Senate is 5 or 6 or 7, whatever the number
you're
is.
You're in range, yeah.
It has the opportunity of bringing either moderate Republicans in or maybe even a few more Democrats. Extremely important there, because otherwise this stuff isn't going to happen. And if it does happen, it'll be like Medicare Part D, where the insurance industry was able to carve out even a fatter slice of the pie for themselves, along with the pharmaceutical industry, and mm-hmm. that's the kind of reform you don't want to have. And that was pushed through by the Republicans and by Bush in many cases, and most of over the objections of the Democrats. So we've got an enormous opportunity here, and we just need to drive it on through. One of the things that I found very, very encouraging was, discouraging, was the debate in South Carolina, and equally encouraging was the way in which both Hillary and Obama are dealing with each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get to attend the Kodak Theater Hollywood debate last Thursday?
I did, yes.
Wasn't that, I have to say that I was very impressed with the performance of each of those two candidates, and it's the first time that CNN got out of the way and didn't jam them up with gotcha questions and distractions about details of immigration, but they really let the candidates talk openly about the issues, and I came away feeling good about Hillary Clinton on a number of fronts, and I felt it was a very useful exercise.
Well, it was, and for all the reasons you've cited, with one exception, Wolf Blitzer just got carried away with one comment to Hillary and was roundly booed by the crowd. Both Obama and Clinton supporters roundly booed him and hopefully chastened him a little bit on that. But the two candidates really spoke well. They spoke with knowledge and conviction, and they were very civil.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me hope.
Let me get your reaction on two points, because the two areas where I thought that Senator Clinton was vulnerable were her attempts to explain her vote in 2002 for the authorization to use force in Iraq. And I felt that she misstated the 11 Amendment. And she also brought up a red herring about, United Nations ruling a sovereign nation like the United States. And I thought that those were factually inaccurate and also pretty weak talking points for a Democrat.
Well, clearly, that vote is a problem for Hillary. It's been a problem from the get-go for her, and remains a problem today. I think it's more of a problem amongst us Democrats. The thing that I saw happen at that debate, and I'd love to go back or have time to go back over the tape of it, is that both Senator Obama and Senator Clinton were talking about almost identically the steps to get out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we got into it and who is to blame and so on and so forth. In fact, a whole lot of very liberal Democrats in California wound up voting for that amendment along with Hillary. So there's a lot of blame to go around amongst our dear friends on the Democratic side. But the reality is we got to get out of there. And the two were tracking very, very close on the details on how to get out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it's the most explicit I've heard her define what her plan is. And I was gratified because I can accept that. The other area you referred to just as we were starting this conversation, John, and that is about the dynasty question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she should be careful about laughing that off or trivializing it with it was a clever statement to say, it took one Clinton to clean up a Bush White House, and maybe we need another one.
Yeah.
But there are really serious serious issues there about how a co-presidency might be managed, and that there are many of us who just say, you know, Bush Clinton, we've got to have a bigger talent pool than that.
Well, there was one of the talking heads on TV early this morning reviewing this whole thing, and they said it's really about a name. But the reality is that Hillary and Obama or Barack are both individuals, and both will have advisors that they will seek counsel from.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately the decision will have to be theirs. As to a co-presidency, such a thing really doesn't exist. I think probably the closest that we've seen in recent time was Bill Clinton and Al Gore, who really worked very closely together on a whole set of very, very key issues. I don't see that as an issue. What I really see is the team of advisors that ultimately will be put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I'm very comfortable with Bill Clinton as an advisor.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll continue and pick up there with John Garamendi in just a moment. We'll go to the phones in the next segment, too. So if you want to comment, get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Good afternoon. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Actually, not too bad. Just one thing to tell you about this first time around. It's in Salinas, River Road at Highway 68. A couple of cows taking a walk across the roadway, so that's not really a good place for them to walk, so do keep your eyes open. Again, that's River Road at Highway 68. Other than that, though, not really anything to tell you about. Look, check and install and accident-free. Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17, all clear, no stalls, no accidents. So for the most part, you're rolling at the limit in both directions. Do have some road work to be aware of, though, in Santa Cruz. Emmeline Avenue off-ramp from northbound 1, that shut down for actually some long-term road work, so the cones are put out, and they're not scheduled to be picked up until summer of this year. Also, road work in Santa Cruz, southbound Highway 1, you're going to see some various lanes shut down between Market and Morrissey. This is long-term road work going on until October. Traffic brought to you by the History Channel. Hoax or History? UFO Hunters, a new HD series tonight at 10 on the History Channel. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's a look at your traffic for KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, visiting with California's Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, a Hillary Clinton supporter who, of course, is delighted by the 10-point margin she put up in California on Super Tuesday yesterday. Switchboard is jammed. We'll take as many as calls as we can while the Lieutenant Governor is with us, and then we have no guests scheduled during the remainder of this hour, so if you're on the line, stay there, and we'll get to you. John, before we take some calls, I just wanted to ask about Prop 93, lost by about a half million votes. 51 of 58 counties voted it down. Have they started to schedule farewell parties for Nunez and Parada?
You don't want to be around the Capitol today. This place is more intrigued here than the Byzantine Empire. It's a lot of people are maneuvering, a lot of discussions about, well, maybe you'd like this committee and or maybe you wouldn't like that committee. It's going to be pretty chaotic and I think very disruptive here for some while until it settles out. And,
mm-hmm.
This happens periodically. This isn't the first time, but it's going to be not very good here for a while.
Yeah, $17 million they spent trying to get an extension for 42 of the legislators on duty right now. And, you know, frankly, John, I'm opposed to term limits for legislators, but I couldn't vote for this one because I don't think they've delivered for the people of California, particularly on redistricting, which was a promise they made.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons it went down. They took a step too far, overreached a bit, and people are able to sense that, and mm-hmm. it goes down. I really think we've got to change the term limits. Obviously, the way that it's been attempted in the last two times when it's gone to the ballot have been maybe too smart by half, and the result is that they've gone down. But we're faced with a problem. We're looking at not because a legislator has done a good job or a bad job, but 43, a third of the legislatures are going to, legislators will roll over and we'll have new ones, and we have to start anew on really bringing them up to speed on some very, very complex issues.
Yeah, it empowers lobbyists and staff members as they train the new folks.
Exactly.
Let's go to the phones. Darcy in Sacramento, you're first for the Lieutenant Governor. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had an experience yesterday. I've been very enthusiastically supporting Senator Obama, and as a result, I've found myself kind of irritated with Hillary a couple of times. But after I voted yesterday morning for Obama, and I don't regret my vote at all, I saw some ladies standing out on a corner with Hillary signs, and they were shouting and screaming and, you know, make history. And I started to cry because I was so disappointed that I hadn't been able to vote for Hillary. So it was a whole different feeling for me. And however it shakes out, I think it'll be okay.
Darcy, we'll get you some therapy for voter's remorse, okay?
I know, it's a nice feeling. It's rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, either way, there's going to be history. But, I tell you, my wife and five daughters are thinking about this. As Patty said last night, she said, you know, my mother was born at a time when women could not vote. And that's not so long ago. Her mother's 90 years old now. And that's an issue. It really is an issue. It's one that's very close to me and obviously to my wife and five daughters.
Thank you, Darcy, and hang in there. You'll be okay. I think this is Sue in Rio Vista. Is that right?
That's right. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead, Sue.
Right. Well, first of all, John Garamendi, I've always voted for you.
Thank you.
I was so pleased to hear you talk about a Clinton-Barack Obama ticket because I think that would give the Democrats 16 straight years without any problem.
Well, it has that potential, doesn't it? And it has, I just look at it and I go, ooh, this is a ticket that really has some staying power.
And also, if you look at the map just from Super Tuesday, Obama got Utah, he got North Dakota, he got Colorado and Georgia. And if you match the maps of Clinton and Obama, you do have a pretty powerful expansion of the map that we saw for Gore and Kerry.
Exactly right. One other thing, in California, Hillary, and this may also be true of Obama, but Hillary alone got more votes than all of the Republicans put together.
Mm-hmm.
And with Obama, it may be very close, but that speaks to this state, and I think you'll find similar things throughout the entire United States.
Sue, thank you very much. John Garamendi, always a pleasure.
Peter B., the pleasure is listening to you.
We'll talk again real
soon.
Take
care. Bye-bye.
That's our Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. Coming up next, your phone calls for the remainder of this hour. Let me know your reaction to Super Tuesday, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
So what have we learned? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network on Wonk Wednesday, where we add up delegates and try to figure out what it means. And I'm starting to see a little tribalism. On the Democratic side, the two candidates are so close on the issues that who they are is starting to matter more than what they say. Hillary Clinton attracts women who simply feel their time has come. She also gets Latinos who've been competing with blacks for middle-class jobs and don't see a black president helping their cause. Barack Obama gets a strong vote from African Americans who feel their time has come, and from white people who want to be rid of white guilt once and for all. It would be too bad if American politics starts looking like Iraqi politics. On the Republican side, it's all about what the evangelicals will do. John McCain got a nasty letter from pro-family preacher Dr. James Dobson, who said that in addition to opposing a federal marriage amendment, John McCain has a temper and uses foul language. Who does Dobson prefer? Well, he prefers Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, who I think it's fair to say has redefined the audacity of hope.
I have to tell you, there was a special feeling in my heart when I realized that the three places Ann and I have lived have all voted for us. Michigan, Massachusetts, and Utah.
And he should have lived in more states. It reminds you of the kid who keeps trying to sit on somebody's lap after the music stops. But you know, God bless them all. They have made this a real race. And with 201 days of commentary left before the first convention, all of us need hope. Or at least change. Change is good, too. Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Oh,
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, west of the Mississippi, along the Pacific coast, in California, below Davenport, above Lucia, and west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Hillary Clinton won California by 10 points. The latest on the delegate count?
Pink ribbon off my eye.
Pretty much of a tie on Super Tuesday.
And it's no big surprise.
I think women are rightfully proud of the showing of Senator Clinton in the Super Tuesday primary contests. And I want to take a moment here to read a couple of lines from an email that went around today. And I don't know who Robin Morgan is, but she describes herself as decades in civil rights, anti-war, and contemporary women's movements. And she has written a piece called Goodbye to All That. Goodbye to the double standard, she writes. Hillary is too ballsy, but too womanly. A snow maiden who's emotional, and so much a politician as to be unfit for politics. Goodbye to the double standard. She's ambitious, but he shows fire in the belly. In parentheses, he asks, have you ever had labor pains? Next line. When a sexist idiot screamed, iron my shirt, at Hillary, it was considered amusing. If a racist idiot shouted, shine my shoes, at Barack, it would have inspired hours of airtime and pages of newsprint analyzing our national dishonor. Young political Kennedys, Kathleen Kerry and Bobby Jr., all endorsed Hillary. Senator Ted, age 76, endorsed Obama. If the situation were reversed, pundits would snort, see, Ted and establishment types back her, but the forward-looking generation backs him. And she says, personally, I'm unimpressed with Caroline's longing for the return of the fathers. Unlike the rest of the world, Americans have short memories. Me, I still recall Marilyn Monroe's suicide and a dead girl named Mary Jo Kopechne in Chappaquiddick. Now, I think that's a really low blow. I really do. And, well, I'll just let it stand there. She goes on, goodbye to the toxic viciousness. Carl Bernstein's disgust at Hillary's thick ankles. Nixon trickster Roger Stone's new Hillary-hating 527 group. And listen to this, and this is offensive if you spell the word, the letters together. Citizens United, not timid. That is ugly. John McCain answering, how do we beat the bitch? With excellent question. Goodbye to the HRC nutcracker with metal spikes between splayed thighs. It was a tap dancing black doll, a blackface doll. If it was, we would be righteously outraged. Well, you know, I hear some threads here that are warranted. I think there's a lot of pride in a woman succeeding in what is a man's world. But I caution people like Robin Morgan, is that her name? Not to overreach. And not to create these hypotheticals. Yes, it was offensive when those shock jocks from Boston tried to make a joke and said, Hillary, iron my shirts. But since no one has made a similar move to ask Barack Obama to shine their shoes, I think that is creating a racist moment that did not exist until then. So I consider this interesting on one level and overkill on another. Let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B. Andy's on the line from New York. Welcome, Andy.
How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, after listening to Mr. Garamendi, I just felt that here you're getting the party line, you're getting the DLC line out there. I'm disappointed with both candidates in a big way. I I think both candidates are really aligned with Wall Street, which I happen to be very close to.
Mm-hmm.
They're both involved with the Hamilton Group. You know, they'll both bring in Robert Rubin.
The Hamilton Group, explain.
Hamilton Group is a, the old Revolutionary War time when Hamilton was the Secretary of Treasury, I believe.
Mm. Well, that's Hamilton was Secretary of Treasury in 1804, so that's before the Civil War.
Revolutionary War, I mean.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
But anyway, the Hamilton Group is high-level executives that have gotten together to try to put their stamp of approval on economic policy
mm-hmm.
in the United States, and both Hillary and Barack Obama have been involved with the Hamilton Group.
Okay.
Talk with them, and you're getting people like Lloyd Blankfein and John Mack and of Morgan Stanley, Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs, Robert Rubin.
Wall Street has been very generous to the Democratic candidates this year. They can see the change coming.
Right. And you know they're going to want to get their payback from whoever gets in there.
Andy, you know, I voted for Obama yesterday in the California primary. My biggest concern about him is that one of his lead foreign policy advisors is Zbigniew Brzezinski. And he's a guy who I think should have been retired a long time ago.
Right. Well, he has taken on the administration as far as the war goes, the policy in Iraq. And he's been pretty forceful that it was a big mistake. And
well, but he was in favor of it when we went in.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have qualms about him as a lead foreign policy advisor to Obama. But I interrupted you. Go ahead and complete your thought.
My only other comment is when you bring in people like Robert Rubin, the ex-Goldman Sachs guy, who's a big player within the Clinton administration, no doubt he'll be coming back again, and he calls the current situation we have a disruption. When they brought down Glass-Steagall, which happened during the Clinton administration,
mm-hmm.
and that caused...
That deregulated the banks, and it allowed banks to engage in securities trading, essentially.
Absolutely, and insurance business
mm-hmm.
as well. So now you get
these
huge conglomerates, and there's really no firewall between these organizations, and
mm-hmm.
you start rocking and rolling out there, doing anything you can to make profits with a lot of conflicts of interest, you know, gone up tenfold.
Right.
And that's why you get the crisis that we're in now in the housing market.
Well, and no lessons have been learned from Enron, really.
True. And again, you can go back. There was deregulation there. The Commodities and Futures Exchange Act of 2000, they had an opportunity to regulate energy trading.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was Robert Rubin, Greenspan,
right.
and Phil Graham, who was head of the Senate Finance Committee, who made sure that it was deregulated. And then you had the black, and I was in California the last 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and the brownouts happened when I was there.
Right.
And that's all because of the deregulation, and that was under the Clinton administration when they deregulated that.
Well, we shouldn't blame Clinton for the California blackouts because the deregulation occurred at the state level, and California really blew it on that. They didn't debate it. It passed unanimously, and the bill was written by PG&E, the largest utility in the state, and they thought it was going to be their bailout, and instead it really led to their bankruptcy. But, Andy, I'll just make one other point. Have you had a chance to read Naomi Klein's new book, Shock Doctrine?
I've certainly heard her talk on numerous occasions, but no, I have not gotten the book.
Let me recommend it to you because it basically shows the continuity that the Wall Street initiatives and the Friedman doctrines coming out of the Chicago School of Economics suffered no interruption when Bill Clinton was the president.
Right.
And I think it's worth noting. Thanks a lot for calling from New York. I appreciate it. Let's go to Maria in Sacramento, listening on 1240 Talk City. And Maria dropped. Sorry about that. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join us here on the telephone right now, 888-573-8372. Lori in Marin, thanks for calling.
Hello, Peter B.
Hi.
Okay, I made a bullet point list because I'm very nervous. I hardly ever call in.
Don't be nervous.
I'm devastated by the call by Green 960 because I totally fell in love with you, and now I listen to you on the computer.
Oh, well, thank you for that. And there is a podcast available if you want a time shift.
Yes. Well, I listen to everybody else's podcast. I want to listen to you live, so I listen on the computer.
Thank you.
Okay. Second thing is I have a healthcare question that hasn't been discussed much.
All right.
Even though I'm in really good health, I'm a dog walker and I hike every day. I'm also an administrative assistant. I have high blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much genetics. And the other thing is I take antidepressants, and that's also genetic.
Mm-hmm.
And with the health care plans, I don't expect the healthy to support me or subsidize me, but, you know, we're very close to a filibuster-proof majority, provided we go for Obama. And irregardless of what they're saying today, if we have a filibuster-proof majority, my thought is we could really go towards single-payer health care or Medicare to everybody.
Well, Lori, that is my goal. I believe that we have to stop the charade, that there is a market-driven solution to our health care problems and the escalating costs and the growing number of uninsured in this country. We ultimately have to confront that. And it's fair to say that neither Hillary nor Barack is willing to say that in the campaign.
Right.
But I believe, just as you pointed out, if we elect a strong Senate, then it's going to give either candidate who becomes president, and I hope it's a Democrat, the political cover to go beyond the proposals that they have made to date. Now, I do agree with Hillary on one central point, and she got burned and learned it the hard way, and that is that if you try to force people away from their Blue Cross or their Health Net or whatever their HMO is today, that you're going to have a backlash.
Well,
and
but
so
I'm
her,
technically
her,
uninsurable, and that's why I'm tied to an administrative job.
Yeah. Well, let me come back to that in a second. But what I think that that Hillary's proposal does acknowledge is that people don't want to be ordered onto a government program against their will. Mm-hmm. But I think that we could transition people by offering the 47 million uninsured access to a single-payer federal plan, and over time, if it proves to be effective and does lower costs and does deliver services at parity, then people will gravitate to that and voluntarily leave the for-profit system.
Correct.
So, you know, I'm one of those people who does understand that this is a complex set of issues that will take time, and that we shouldn't just focus in on their proposals and say that's the beginning and the end of health care reform.
Okay.
Now, to your issue, both of them are trying to rewrite the rules so that pre-existing conditions would not prevent you from changing jobs and taking on a new insurance carrier. And I think that's a very critical issue, and also mental health. Both of them describe mental health and other health issues at parity. And if we achieve that, then the antidepressants that you take would not be seen as an issue preventing you from getting new coverage if you wanted to take a better job.
Okay. And the other thing I just wanted to say about the results from yesterday, I'm very excited. I was very, I've been an Obama supporter from early on. However, I did vote for Edwards in California.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics in Kansas say that in 2004 the turnout was 1,700, and in 2008 it was 37,000.
Wow.
That gives me hope that I just truly believe that Obama has had the turnout beyond belief. And not that I'm going to vote for whoever gets the nomination, you know,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. But let's honor our young voters, and let's honor those people who are active for the first time ever.
I'm with you. Thank you very much
Thank
for your
you.
Call, and thanks for listening on your computer.
Okay. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Now to, let's see, it was Louise, and I think this is now Dave in Eureka.
It is Dave in Eureka, Peter, and I, too, have the gravest of reservations about the two remaining Democratic candidates. I know they've got to be better than the Bushes, but what could you do to be worse than them? But one of the things, you have had been introduced to my blue dog congressman here who had drafted a let's pretend we want to get out of Iraq bill,
mm-hmm.
and that was co-authored and introduced in the Senate by Obama.
Mm.
And I do believe that Hillary knew from the get-go that this war was all about profits, all about lies, but she felt it was politically advantageous to sign on to it, to support it, and vote for it every time to fund it. They both do that. So I wish that wasn't true. We've had some really good candidates that have been eliminated, and I think by a process that I don't like at all.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, and we are, you know, I just want to be really honest and direct, Dave. You are correct. Neither Obama nor Clinton is a true progressive. And as Andy from New York pointed out, they've both taken lots of money from Wall Street and corporate interests. What we have to hope, and this is a hope, and Obama's campaigning on hope, is that we can really galvanize the American public and push forward and force a Clinton or an Obama as president to move in a more progressive direction. That really is the route we have to take at this point. I'm as disappointed as you at John Edwards' withdrawal very late in the process here, and also disappointed at the way the media marginalized him and Dennis Kucinich, the real candidates with ideas in the race this year. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks.
More calls coming up next here as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab a line toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue taking your calls till the end of the show. Mike Lux, a progressive strategist from Washington, will join us to kick off next hour, and he'll be with us right after the news coming up in a few minutes. 888-573-8372. Thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Do have a couple things to tell you about. First, an injury accident in Santa Cruz County. This is Highway 9 at Brookdale Lodge. An SUV overturned, actually landed on its roof, so emergency crews are on scene as well as CHP. Do be aware, Highway 9 at Brookdale Lodge. This is in Santa Cruz County. Prunedale, Crazy Horse Canyon Road, just east of 101. Reports of a couple garbage cans. Those are rolling around in the roadway. Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of Highway 17. You're still checking install and accident-free. So for the most part, you're still rolling at the limit. Santa Cruz do have some long-term road work going on. This is the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp from northbound 1. That off-ramp is shut down, so the cones are put out. This is long-term, so it's not scheduled to be picked up until summertime of this year. So again, that's the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp from northbound 1 in Santa Cruz. Traffic, it is brought to you by the History Channel. Hoax or History, UFO Hunters, a new HD series tonight at 10 p.m. on the History Channel. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's a look at your traffic for KRXA.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Sun Street Center knows many people have had a DUI. It doesn't mean you're an alcoholic, but it does mean you have to complete the state requirements and clear up your driving record. The DUI classes at Sun Street Centers is part of that process. Sun Street will work with you and set up a payment plan. Stop looking over your shoulder when you drive. Just get it done. Call Sun Street Centers today, 753-5135. They're state licensed in Salinas, Seaside, and King City. Call 753-5135 for DUI classes at Sun Street.
Minutes in front of the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. All the lines are jammed right now, but when we end a call, that's your cue to dial in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. This program is produced in San Francisco by the incredible Katrina Rill, and she's taking your calls today. man up next in the free speed zone here, Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome, Joe.
Yeah, do you think that Obama or Hillary will be offered a job in the Michael Bloomberg administration? I'm worried about their political futures.
Well, but,
being a United States senator, I mean, it's such a horrible job.
Right. Well, and it was just revealed today that a couple of weeks ago, Hillary loaned her campaign $5 million. So she's getting into the Mitt Romney let's spend it all zone.
Well, maybe she'll need to hit up Bloomberg for a loan.
Well, the other interesting tidbit, and people have commented on this before, but Senator Clinton accepted an offer from Rupert Murdoch for a fundraiser last summer. And we've just learned that in the next few weeks, there will be the first Democratic presidential debate on the Fox News channel.
Imagine that.
Now, I'm not sure exactly how this evolved, because starting last year, Robert Greenwald and some activists basically shamed the Democrats into aligning around a pledge not to play ball with the Fox News channel. Mm. And now, all of a sudden, that has changed. I don't know why. But I've mentioned what I think are the relevant factors.
I have heard that there have been some donations from the Fox News Corporation to the Hillary campaign. Now, I can only guess what that is all about. I'm not saying there's anything crooked or corrupt going on with that at all. Now, I'm so sick and tired of listening to all this nonsense about we're all supposed to be so impressed by the Democrats and that it's a new day. Heck, you got a white woman and a black man as the top two candidates. I guess, you know, if we're going by those sort of standards, I suppose Cynthia McKinney should be considered at least twice as qualified as either of these people. And I can tell you about the fact that we got three women on our local county board of commissioners here in Curry County.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know, one of our local papers came out with the fact that one of them has had a problem with alcoholism and drunk driving with one of the with the county vehicles for the last 2.5 years, and the county has been covering it up for the last 2.5 years. The other two women who happen to be Democrats have been helping to cover it up. So please, please, please do not give me this nonsense about how I'm supposed to pray to God and thank God that we got a woman that is this close to becoming president. I've voted for several women in the past. I wouldn't vote for Clinton if you gave me Bloomberg money to do it. The only reason she gets as much consideration as she does because she is a woman and her last name is Clinton.
All right, Joe, I got you. Thank you for ranting with us today. Now to Rod in Sacramento. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to bring out a couple of points. One is, you remember this lady called Shirley Chisholm?
Yeah, she ran for president in either 72 or 76. I think it was 72.
And would you consider her a real progressive or a liberal? And was she a pioneer in the sense of the women's movement?
Well, she was a pioneer. She was an African-American congresswoman, I believe, from Texas.
Right.
And
I thought she was from New York.
You know, maybe you're right. It was Barbara Jordan. Barbara Jordan
was from
Texas in that era. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And when she ran for president, she ran, she did a lot of work in the neighborhoods and stuff that she represented and that sort of thing. And to compare her with Hillary Clinton, I think it's like night and day. My problem with Hillary Clinton is this, is that, you know, she has the name. And she's playing a victim role in the sense of saying that, you know, she's getting beat up through the media and that sort of thing. But if you compare back in 1972 when Shirley Chisholm ran and compare it to now, the things that were sort of like lodged against her, she never sort of like even gave in to like any of the aspersions, you know, the things that were being said about her,
mm-hmm.
being the fact that she was African American and a woman,
right?
And she just, you know, she kept her nose, you know, she kept her focus. And I just wonder, why is it so easy for, you know, the things for women now to sort of like accept that victim role that Hillary's putting out there that she's like this victim, especially when she's like, you know, running to be the, you know, the president of probably the most powerful country in the, on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, I have a problem with that. And
I agree with you. It is problematic, particularly when her supporters do that. And that was the point I was trying to make by reading that email a little bit earlier this hour. We went to Wikipedia, and she did serve 7 terms in the House, and yes, she ran in 1972. Thanks a lot for calling today, Rod. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Let's jump to J.D. in Sacramento for 30 seconds. Go ahead, J.D.
Hi, J.D. Well,
hello? J.D.? I guess 30 seconds offended him. I'm sorry, J.D. Call back after the top of the hour. We'll have more time. It's just the commercial breaks come along like a freight train, and I simply cannot stop them. At least some of them, the one at the end of the hour and the one in the middle of the hour. Those are the ones I can't control. Got it? Mike Lux, a progressive activist, will join us to kick off next hour. If you've got a line, stay there. And if you want to join the conversation, do so. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Grab the podcast at peterbcollins.com.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. After tornadoes ravaged parts of 5 southern states, the lucky ones are telling their survival stories.
We were in the spare bathroom in the closet, me and my husband and our little baby, and we just jumped in there and threw towels and whatever we could find over us as the whole house just started shaking.
She lives in Crofton, Kentucky. By the latest count, 54 people died late yesterday and early today as twisters tore through Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi, and Alabama. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports that warnings in this case weren't always effective.
Some rural communities where they don't have those early warning systems, yes, they say they were taken by surprise. Many people knew for days that the conditions were ripe for tornadoes, and they did hear those sirens, but they said when the twisters came, there were so many of them, and they came so quickly, they just didn't have time to get to shelter.
CBS News meteorologist George Cullen says this was an exceptional weather event.
All the reports that I've seen indicate that this one cell, the one funnel cloud, was on the ground for, you know, a half hour, if not slightly longer. Now, there's been confirmed reports of at least 30 separate tornadoes.
To find something worse, you have to go back to 1985 when twisters in Ohio and Pennsylvania killed 76 people. A new winter storm is bringing heavy snow to parts of the plains and Midwest. At Chicago's O'Hare Airport, about 1,000 flights were canceled today. But this woman's attitude is, snow happens.
When you travel a lot, you just have a sense of calm about this because it's happened to you so often, you don't get upset.
As much as 18 inches of snow is forecast in southern Wisconsin. A combination of heavy rain and melting snow has caused flooding along the Blanchard River in Ohio. Some homes are having high water after just being repaired from the floods in August. Senate Republicans have sidelined and perhaps killed the Democrats' effort to expand the economic stimulus plan by more than $40 billion. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
A close vote was expected, so Democratic leaders held it off until the senators busy running for president could be back in Washington to vote. Democrats Clinton and Obama voted yes. Republican McCain did not vote. But even with those two Democratic candidates' yes votes, The tally was two votes short of the 60 the Democratic leaders needed in order to proceed to a vote on their economic stimulus plan. It would have expanded the House plan to include seniors and disabled veterans on those rebate checks.
Senator McCain, after his Super Tuesday sweep, says he's confident of winning the Republican nomination.
We will unite the party behind our conservative principles and move forward and win the general election in November.
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are neck and neck to compete with Obama's January fundraising. Clinton acknowledged today that she loaned her campaign $5 million. The Dow lost ground again today, down 65 points to 12,200. The NASDAQ down 30. This is CBS News.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer: our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Valentine's Day's always been special for me and my baby girl. Over the years, we've shared many a candy heart together. And even though she's grown and on her own, my wife and I still like to get her a little something each year. That's my job. So I always go to Walmart. I know they have a favorite candy like Russell Stover and Nestle and those Dove chocolate hearts. Plus, I can pick out some fresh flowers and a card. So even though I got a late start this year, thanks to Walmart, we were right on time to show our baby love on Valentine's Day.
Walmart. Save money. Live better.
Spears' life is back to what passes for normal after a week in the hospital. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
The release from the UCLA Medical Center took place suddenly, quietly, with no fanfare. Soon after her release, Britney Spears was out and about driving around Los Angeles and under the watchful eye of paparazzi following her every move. Hospital officials are not saying anything about Spears' condition. In court documents, however, Spears has been portrayed as a young woman suffering from emotional problems. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Spears' father, James, remains her court-appointed conservator with authority to run her business affairs. A young man in Germany has been convicted of distributing pornographic material for using his cell phone camera to send a picture of his private parts to a woman. She called police. More punishing than the $220 fine, perhaps, is this comment from the judge: "We all had a bit of a laugh when we saw the thing." I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with 49-cent color copies to make sure your work stands out. Only at Office Depot will Xerox-certified print specialists bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, flyers, and more. So hurry into Office Depot today and get your business noticed. Office Depot, taking care of business with 49-cent color copies. Valid for letter and legal-size single-sided copies on up to 28-pound paper stock.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax levies.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/payroll.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This warning, Roy Zimmerman has been at it again.
Barack Obama has a funny name. Barack Obama has a funny name. His name's Barack Obama. That's right, Obama. Sounds like Osama. I'm just the 147 millionth person to obey that idiotic point. And his middle name, and his middle name's Hussein. Hussein, not Saddam, but Obama. When he was a kid, he smoked a joint, and he inhaled. He smoked a joint, and inhaled. That was the point. He also did cocaine. His middle name, Hussein.
Hussein, he wants to be the POTUS. And I wonder if you noticed that Barack Hussein Obama has a funny name. Obama is the candidate of change. Ought to change his name, it's pretty strange. Why can't he just be John or Steve or Bill or even George or anything but Sue? And one more question, is he black enough? Yes, is he black enough to be the president? Born in Honolulu, he's got kin in every region. Schooled in Indonesia, he's a one-man foreign legion. He's got game and lots of hope and lots of folks who feel the same. And also, did I mention quite a quirky name? 'Cause once you go Barack, you're never going Bach. Bach.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's sliding into the next song in my iTunes. That's brand new from Roy Zimmerman. It's called Ein Kleiner Barack Music. And we add to our Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives that fresh tune. Mike Lux joins us from Washington. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Good to talk with you again. And you're blogging still at openleft.com.
Yep, we've been having fun on Open Left. A lot of stuff to analyze these days.
Yeah, there sure is. Now, from your safety zone there inside the Beltway, what does Super Tuesday look like? The latest is that it's a virtual draw in terms of new delegates for the top two Democrats.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was in terms of both nationwide vote and number of delegates awarded, it's pretty much a dead heat. And you know, it was a remarkable day, and both campaigns had lots of good news and lots of bad news in it. I think that Obama's people are thrilled that he won so many states and that he won, you know, quite a few of them, you know, overwhelmingly.
Mm-hmm.
Just big margins, but they were hoping that the momentum that he had would have carried them into winning some of the big states like Massachusetts and California.
Right.
So they were somewhat disappointed, but I think pretty happy that they'd come up so far so fast over the last couple of weeks in terms of the national polls and the state polls.
Well, and I think the Obama campaign has run a remarkable effort. If there was a miscalculation, it was that his surge in popularity occurred after the drop of absentee ballots in California.
Yeah. Well, I do think that was an issue, and I've been telling people that basically for 2 weeks, ever since he started rising in the polls. I said to people, look, in California and some of the other western states, like Arizona, don't get too taken in by the polls, because a lot of people have already put their absentee ballots in. And, I mean, big numbers of absentee ballots, as you know, Peter, in those western states especially. So you really have to take that into account when you're thinking about somebody coming up in the polls. And I think that, and I think you know, the other thing that was key to the California race, especially, and to some of the other states, but Barack still hasn't been able to figure out how to really crack the Hispanic vote.
Mm-hmm.
They were all hoping that the Ted Kennedy endorsement would make a big difference, and I think it made a modest one. But but he needs to figure that out, especially with Texas coming up, in less than a month.
Now, Mike, let's drill into that for a minute here, because I think it's a very important set of issues for the Democratic Party in the present tense and in the future tense. And political correctness sometimes gets in the way of honest discussion of these issues, as does the right-wing machinery that seizes on them and attempts to exploit any division that they can identify. But speaking specifically about California, Hillary got Latinos flat out 2-1. 66-33.
Yep.
And Asian voters went for Hillary Clinton by an even larger margin. I think it's in the 74-76% range.
Yep.
And so we've got to be honest that the results indicate, at minimum, that there are fissures in the Democratic Party, and that there is a resistance on the part of Latinos to vote for an African-American, and that Asians, too, which, you know, comprise a smaller voting bloc nationwide, but an important one in California, also
Absolutely.
An important donor base here, that they seem to be allergic to considering an African-American. And the positive is that Caucasian Democrats seem to be over race considerations, and they're voting for Obama or Clinton, in understandable numbers.
Well, you know, I think in some ways the fissures you're talking about have less to do with race, frankly. I don't think there's any doubt that African Americans are going overwhelmingly for Obama because he is African American. I think on that level is quite true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with the other demographic categories you're talking about, they're tending to split out. There's many different demographic split outs in this race. There's an age split out. Everybody's talking about how young voters are overwhelmingly for Obama, which is true, but over 65-year-old voters are quite heavily for Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
There's what I would call a creative class versus working class split,
mm-hmm.
where people who are more in the arts, more in technology, more in media and entertainment-related industries, professors, the folks like that are tending more toward Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who are more working class are tending more toward Hillary, at least white working class.
Right, and when it's parsed on education level, Hillary is getting the bulk of the high school graduate vote,
right.
And Obama is scoring well among college graduates
right.
and above.
Right, exactly. So you're looking at a lot of different ways that this thing is being sliced and diced. And I think with Hispanic voters and Asian Americans, I think my own theory is this. I don't think it's because he's African American. I think it has more to do with their familiarity with trust of Hillary Clinton and both Clintons, frankly,
mm-hmm.
Than it has to do with Barack Obama being African American. And I think if it comes to a general election and Barack Obama's nominee, I think they'll still be fine with the Democratic ticket and the Democratic Party. So that's not something I'm really worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those communities have long, very deep, history with the Clintons.
Yeah.
And in both cases, the Clintons, I mean, I was on Bill Clinton's 92 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We had I was the National Constituencies Director, and we had a very aggressive, very strong, well-staffed, well-thought-out constituency outreach operation with
right.
both Hispanics and Asian Americans.
Right, and who was...
A lot of effort into it, did it at the White House as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of history there.
Remind me who the fundraiser was. He was Asian, and he said, oh, the White House, it's like a Subway. You got to put money in the turnstile. Chung?
I think it was John Wong, I think.
Wong, there we go, yeah.
I think that's right, yeah. I remember that quote.
Right. Now, Mike, the burning question here on the Left Coast is why, oh, why did John Edwards suspend his campaign last week? He could have hung in there. It wasn't going to cost him any more
right.
To stay on the ballot. And, in fact, about 12-14% of California Democratic primary votes went to John Edwards. Many of those voted absentee before he bailed out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But many of us are really still puzzled by that. And in particular, the timing of it. He could have picked up more delegates, most
yes,
likely, if he had stayed in for Super Tuesday.
I find myself utterly confused by that as well. And I don't know whether it was a conversation with some key players close to him. I don't know whether it was a conversation with some of his key money people. Maybe it was conversations with one or both of the remaining candidates. I don't know what made him do that, but that that totally confused me, because you are absolutely right. He might have picked up, you know, a fair number of delegates in California, but for sure he would have picked up a ton of delegates in southern states, you know, in Oklahoma, in Missouri, in the Deep South. He would have gotten a fair number of votes, and he would have been above the 15% threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it was a big mistake, because he could have had, rather than having, what's this total now, I think 36 or something like that.
It's in that range, yeah.
Rather than having 36 delegates to bargain with, he might have had 150 to bargain with.
Right.
And in a closely contested, hard-fought race between Clinton and Obama, he might have been the guy to put one or the other of them over the top. So mm-hmm. I was very confused by what happened. I think maybe, you know, someone had a conversation with him and said, if you get out now, you'll be a bigger deal than later. But it made no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, Mike Lux is with us. L-U-X is how he spells his name. Read him, his blog and commentaries at openleft.com. And, Mike, can you stay with us for a few more minutes?
Sure.
I got a caller who wants to mix it up with you, and we'll do that right after the break here. 888-5-PETER-B, if you want to join the conversation. 888-573-8372. My email's working. Drop me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you don't agree with me, full of it at peterbcollins.com. I'll get it.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Good evening. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Do have a stall to watch out for in Carmel. Northbound 1 before Carpenter Street. This is a pickup truck. It conked down the right-hand lane. So, again, northbound 1 just before Carpenter Street, you're losing that right-hand lane. Santa Cruz County crews still working to clear up this injury accident. Highway 9 at Brookdale Lodge. An SUV overturned actually landed on its roof in the roadway. So, emergency crews, CHP as well as a tow truck are on scene working to clear that out. Prunedale, Crazy Horse Canyon Road just east of 101. Keep your eyes open for a couple of garbage cans rolling around in the roadway. And Highway 17 still both directions through Santa Cruz Mountain stall and accident free. Traffic brought to you by Carfax. Shopping for a used car this weekend, be on the lookout. The number of cars with flood damage is more than doubled. Ask your car dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's a look at your traffic for KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and right about now, a tall, cold orange crush sounds pretty good. We continue with progressive activist and consultant Mike Lux. He's based in Washington. And Jen is on the line from Sacramento, listening to KSAC. Hello, Jen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with your guest. And this is in regards to the Hispanics and blacks and how they interact. Typically, and I am African-American, mm-hmm. and 49 years old, so I've lived with this, but because we have to compete, if you will, with our positioning in the social, whether it's education or in the job market, typically they you know, have us compete, and you'll find a lot of blacks that will say they are taking our jobs from us, mm-hmm. jobs that would typically go to us. And so there's a long-standing, not war, but a competition thing, one that, okay, I'm not going to deal with him because I need to be above him type of situation. And so even though the Hispanics and Asians have a long history, we do as well. And that's why I'm so surprised that a lot of blacks don't support Clinton's because of what they did for us. But, again, there is a war, quiet war between the two races. And I see it often. I was raised with it, and it did not surprise me that the Hispanics did not vote for Obama for that reason.
Well, Jen, I appreciate your commentary, and I consider you more qualified than a white guy like me to to offer that perspective. Mike, what's your reaction?
You know, I've heard other friends of mine, make that comment as well, and I don't. Doubt, and have heard from many friends, both African American and Latino, that there are those tensions, and that could have contributed to it. I just don't think when I look at the polling data, when I watch focus groups, I'm just not sensing that as a deciding factor for Hispanics.
But isn't this one of the issues that is submerged? That
it could be. You know, there could be something that's submerged that's going on more psychologically. But if you look at races around the country where African Americans are on the ballot,
mm-hmm.
there's not a general trend for Hispanics voting against African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It's really candidate by candidate, race by race. Depending on who the opposition is, you don't see that kind of trend, in general. And for example, when Obama ran in 2004 for the Senate in that primary race, the general doesn't count because the Republican was a joke. But
right.
In the primary race, Obama did just fine with Hispanic voters. So it may be a factor, and I'm not denying it could be. A factor. I just don't feel like it's probably the main one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to, if I can just interject, it would depend on who he was going against. Now, again, the Clintons have a high reputation with Hispanics, and so if you were comparing Obama with Bush, every person, hopefully, on this planet would be on the side of Obama. But just in knowing, you know, that they had two factors to deal with, are we going to go with somebody that we know has helped us? Or are we going to go with someone that traditionally we have issues with,
yeah.
not the person, but the race.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have to kind of filter all that in the mix.
Well,
you
know, and
you may well be right.
Yeah, and Jen, I appreciate you offering these comments, because what it's really telling me is that the mainstream media looks for generalizations and tries to pull them out of polling data. And I think that this is a complex set of issues. I do think that there is some antipathy on the part of Latinos toward African Americans. And I also think that there are some Asians who harbor a certain antipathy toward African Americans. But I do think that class issues, I think that identity politics in terms of women voting for Hillary, and also just, you know, people's perceptions of old school versus a different future. I think all of those drive the voting behavior, and it's not all based on one's race or the candidate's race.
Exactly, I agree.
Okay,
thank
Jen.
You.
Thank you very much. Mike, with about 30 seconds here, what would you like to add that I haven't asked you about?
Well, Peter, I think that the next few weeks... Obama has a lot of favorable states, at least in terms of demographics, in range. Hillary Clinton needs to look to find some stopgaps so that she doesn't run up a string of losses before the next big states, which are Ohio and Texas. And I think she's going to look to Virginia and Wisconsin as the two states to try to stop what will otherwise be an uninterrupted string of Obama wins.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Mike. Thanks for joining us today. The other breaking news, some Hillary Clinton staffers are working without pay, and she loaned her campaign $5 million in the last few weeks. Going to be very interesting, Mike. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi there, KRXA listeners. This is Hal on behalf of the Central Avenue Bakery. Tina and her staff want to thank all of you for becoming regulars at the Central Avenue Bakery at 173 Central Avenue in beautiful Pacific Grove. February is a special month at the Central Avenue Bakery as they celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian buffet and a free glass of wine with every dinner. Space is limited, so make your reservations for Valentine's Day now. Then, at the end of February, Central Avenue Bakery celebrates its third anniversary with live music, free food, and prizes. Enjoy organic foods, pastries, and coffee. They also have a gluten-free menu and many organic gluten-free pastries. Stop by one of my favorite restaurants, the Central Avenue Bakery in Pacific Grove, today.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient proactive staff, trained certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
This weekend, CSU Stanislaus comes to the Kelp Bed on Friday, then Chico State arrives on the bus Saturday. 7:15 pregames on KRXA 540, Friday and Saturday. Go Otters!
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone taking your calls here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got one line available at 888-5-PETER-B. Is the latest CD from Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. They're back together with the boss, and that one's called Last to Die. Who will be the last to die for a mistake as we now approach 4,000 American dead in Iraq? Your calls are welcome here. I've got one line available, 888-5. Peter B. getting lots of reaction to a Super Tuesday in California and elsewhere. And Sandra is next. Thanks for holding on, Sandra, from Sacramento.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Listen, I just wanted to comment on that article you read. You know, Susan B. Anthony was outraged at the thought of the black man getting the vote after the 15th Amendment passed, you know, which, of course, the black man didn't vote. They, you know, Reconstruction ended and, you know, everything, you know the rest. But what gets me is all these white women who seem to be coming unhinged to the point where they're now making up racial scenarios to explain what's going on with Obama. And I'm frankly quite tired of it. It's like, if you want to talk about sexism in America, as you know, as opposed, you know, threatening women's empowerment, that's one thing. But, you know, let's not mix up this sort of fake racial story. I just find it really disturbing. It's this isn't the first one I've heard. I've heard at least four other sort of unhinged sort of white women who seem to be freaking out because, you know, their dream of a presidency may be threatened by this person of color. And it's really divisive.
Well, I agree. And the reason I read it is that I do think it represents a body of thought that exists and that's embraced by certain people. And I also think that what is easily detectable there is a sense of victimization.
No,
It's kind of this comparative misery index, you know, that, women have been, disenfranchised or, ill-treated worse than African Americans. And I think that there is a tinge of that kind of comparative victimhood that came through in the email that I read by Robin Morgan.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, I've heard, you know, a similar sort of strain, you know, with other, sort of white women who seem to have this, I don't want to say sense of entitlement, but it's no need to make up the racial, because no one said shine my shoes to Obama. You know,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It wasn't said. It's enough of that out there without white women sort of trying to, like you say, create this misery victimhood index. I don't know what the ideal is, because people are voting the way they want to vote. You know what I mean?
Right, but I'm hearing a lot of this that is coming from Clinton supporters who feel that that she is being targeted unfairly and criticized in the media, and that because Obama is black, that he gets a pass.
Yeah, I just don't really see it, because I don't see Obama standing around banging that drum as hard as, you know, the women seem to be doing it. And all of it doesn't seem to be very helpful for the cause. And I just have one more thing to say as far as the Latino, black, Asian tension.
Mm-hmm.
I really think people should be careful. I think the media has latched on to yet another simplistic narrative they want to, you know, ram down our throats.
Right.
I'm a bit weary about it, you know.
Well, I share that, and I hope that you can appreciate, I try to approach these topics with some sensitivity, but also I don't believe that we should not discuss them.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that, but I can just see that this turning into, you know, the next stage of the sort of let's exploit the idea of, you know, someone of color and a woman vying for this position. You know, they're just going to pull out all stops. You know what I mean?
Well, and let's be fair that even though I have conceded that Obama and Clinton both have tremendous corporate support, they're getting that as an insurance investment. Okay, Wall Street isn't giving money to Hillary or Barack because they think they'll do everything that Wall Street wants. They're trying to, build some bridges and avoid being frozen out or locked out from the process going forward. But I don't think they have any illusions of exactly what they are buying there.
No, I don't have any illusions either. And in fact, at least Obama doesn't seem to be surrounding himself with more warmongers. I can't say the same for Hillary. With that, say good day.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks a lot for the call, Sandra. I appreciate that. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. But first, Tom Unsicker joins us. He's the guy who started December 15th on his bicycle from Santa Cruz, California, and he is now right there within striking distance of the nation's capital. Hello, Tom.
Peter B., good evening.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. Getting ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, speak up a little bit. I got a low connection here.
Okay, getting ready for tomorrow. Going to start passing out the cojones.
And I want you to, you know, be fully vibrant and in full voice tomorrow, because you will be a guest on the Bill Press Show, which is heard on most of the great radio stations that carry the Peter B. Collins Show.
That is true. And what's really good for West Coast listeners is that I'm going to be on at 8:45 Eastern, which is only 5:45 for you guys.
Yeah, it's a little more accessible than the 3 a.m. start of that show.
You bet.
Well, I think that's going to be a great welcome and a kickoff for you. And I know that Bill and his producer are tickled by what you've done. And I think they'll give you a nice opportunity there to tell people about your quest to bring courage to Congress.
And I truly appreciate it. And one of the things that I did was I've been hauling a few extra sacks of balls and sort of presentation models. And I'm going to be presenting those to some of the people along the way that have been good to me. And
great.
I think Bill deserves a set.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's if you remember him from Crossfire, he went toe-to-toe with the righties for a long time. And so he definitely has some cojones, I would say that.
You betcha. And I'm really looking forward to it. And then I'll be visiting Congressman Farr's office first tomorrow morning after I'm off of the radio. And then after that, over to see what's happening at a conservative conference. Try to pick up some different viewpoints.
Well, that's called CPAC, and Tom Hartman makes an annual pilgrimage as the only lefty who populates a radio row there at the Conservative Political Action Conference. That's the event where last year Ann Coulter questioned the heterosexuality of John Edwards. So,
I do remember that.
It's a very special zone, and I think it'll be interesting to see if the conservative talk show hosts who will be there along with Tom Hartman take an interest in the message that you've brought to Washington.
It will be interesting, but I hate to admit it, Peter B. I'm going in probably in Republican camouflage. I'm going to be wearing a Captain America suit, dark blue spandex, and a stars and stripe jersey.
Well, give him hell. Give him all you got. Well, Tom, we're delighted that you've made it there to Washington. It's going to be an interesting set of meetings and events over the next few days. And we are prepared to interrupt the Peter B. Collins Show at any time for a bulletin from Washington, from Tom Unsicker. And if you corral a member of Congress and actually get to present them with the package of courage that you've brought, we want to cover it live.
I'll keep my phone hot and ready, Peter B. And again, I do want to say I could not have done this without you and your staff.
Okay, well,
yeah, thank you much.
We're happy to give you the support where the spandex may have failed. All right, Tom, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Talk to you soon, Peter B.
Visit the website courage2congress.com, and I found out if you put the W's in front of it, you'll get right there, www.courage2congress.com, and you can follow the efforts of Tom Unsicker to bring courage to our Congress. John and Carmel by the Sea, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
I was a faithful Clinton supporter both terms. I've been saying very hostile things recently, and the reason is that it was a very unsettling process supporting them, and by the end of his second term I'd had it not only with him but I think with centrism. Now that I've had the Bush era and more years to reflect on the Clinton time, I'm it's the centrism that I can't stand now, even though in happier days centrism can be a bit rewarding. But I'm no longer at odds. I used to find Jesus saying that he would vomit that type out of his system, just way too radical, and now I think I can understand why. Because centrism essentially is don't rock the boat. These are the people who, in the parable about the Good Samaritan, it was just too risky. You don't risk things, you know. You stay on the straight and narrow of your own self-interest.
Well, and George Lakoff, John, has pretty well demonstrated that the center is a myth. It's a political myth. That sure, there are some people who are conservative on economic issues and more liberal on social issues, but that doesn't mean that they are centrists. It means that, you know, they have a kind of bipolar approach to the issues, and that should not be mistaken for some sense of moderation or consistency in the middle.
But look how rife it is. It isn't just that the Clintons are the god and goddesses of it. They may not be. There are others like Tony Blair that could claim at least the god of centrism in a more international sense, maybe by his extreme enabling of Bush. But it's look at the Democrats. Look at Nancy Pelosi. It's no accident that I'm so hostile to her. I'm sick of this disease. It's a curse. It's just. It won't do. The same people are the ones that cooperated with Hitler. Did you know there was a book written that just has gotten scathing criticism all along? It was written by a Jewish individual. It's called Hitler's Willing Executioners, if I got the title right. I might have gotten it slightly wrong. Have you heard of that book?
No, I haven't, John.
Fascinating book. I think it should be on every bookshelf because You know, Adolf Hitler, outside of when he was on the front, in the trenches, probably never killed anybody except then, as a soldier. All of those deaths that are attributable to him now, somebody else did it. The same is true of Stalin. In fact, Stalin probably never held a gun but a few times in his hands. I doubt if he may have killed somebody, but if he did, I don't know of it.
Mm-hmm.
50 million. Now, that's what the statistics are indicating it could be, are the deaths, mainly Russians, or at least people within the old Soviet Union, that he is responsible for having killed. There were people who around the clock provided executioners for those he was throwing in the gulags there. There are just too many enablers. You want to know why history is such a sad story? It's these people. You've got to stand for principle. In fact, I'd say right now, what matters most in the next president is principle, even before ability.
Gotcha, John. I got to stand for a commercial break and stretch my legs. We'll continue in just a moment. Take more of your calls here in the Free Speech Zone. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good evening. Taking a check of your KRXA traffic. Crews still working to clear an injury accident in Santa Cruz County. This is Highway 9 at the Brookdale Lodge. An SUV had actually overturned, landed on its roof. So emergency crews are on scene, and they're blocking the southbound lanes. So one-way traffic control is in effect as you roll past this accident. So again, Highway 9 at the Brookdale Lodge, you're looking at one-way traffic control in effect. So expect it to be slow both directions through there. Van Loman, Highway 9 at Love Creek Road. Traffic lights reportedly not working. The lights are actually stuck on green in all directions. So that's causing a little confusion. Just treat it as a four-way stop sign. Highway 9 at Love Creek Road, so do be aware of that. Santa Cruz Mounds, Highway 17, both directions, no stalls, no accidents. And Santa Cruz also some road work. Emmeline Avenue off-ramp from northbound 1, that is shut down for some long-term road work. Would you buy a used car if it was damaged in a fire? Fire destroys a car's electrical and safety systems. Find out about prior fire damage. Ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Diane Morgan, and that's a look at your traffic for KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Well, I don't remember. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I do suffer from long-term memory loss when I can recollect. Nick in Sacramento, listening on 1240 Talk City. You're next in the PBC Free Speech Zone.
Hi, Peter B. Boy, interesting topics today. It was kind of interesting to hear John Garamendi talk about Proposition 93. When I first saw it, I thought, you know, I think that's a pretty good deal. Limit the terms of these legislatures. And then I found out who was putting all the money into it. And I got to thinking, you know, these people have been sitting on their thrones making all these laws. And what they want to do is keep that job. I mean, I have to worry about where my next order's coming from. I have to worry about how I'm going to pay. I only have one employee. How am I going to pay that employee? And I don't know where my next order's coming from. So I think it's a good deal that they have to get out in the real world and they have to live with the laws that they've passed.
But how can you object to the friends of Fabian Nunez spending $17 million to extend his lease for another 4 years?
hey, you know, give me $2 million and I'll be happy to vote for Proposition 93. $17 million, was it that much?
Yeah, the opponent spent about less than half that, about $7 or $8 million. And I have to say, they ran a bang-up campaign. They nailed Fabian Nunez every way they could on his foreign travel, his lavish spending sprees, and he gave them the ammunition that they used against him.
You know, I seem to remember reading something about that he had one of the highest paid staffs in the legislature. Political patronage.
Yeah.
But you know, one thing about the lobbyist, and you know, a lot of people say that lobbyists are bad. My impression and my feeling about lobbyists is what their principal job is to do is to make sure that the legislature doesn't pass dumb, stupid laws or laws that's going to hamstring them. Now, obviously, sometimes these legislatures, these lobbyists, put money into the legislature's hands so that they'll pass laws favorable to them.
Well, if we cleaned up campaign finance, I'd have less problem with lobbyists. And to be fair, there are lobbyists who are there who represent me. In fact, I've gone to Sacramento to lobby for labor legislation and other bills that I care about. And so I don't think that every lobbyist is evil, but the corporate lobbyist whose job is to prevent reform, to prevent appropriate regulation from taking hold, those are people that we need to weed out. And the best way we can do it is to publicly finance campaigns so that our legislators cannot take a dime from any special interest and therefore won't owe them anything. That's the only way to clean up the system of graft that we have. Thanks a lot for your call. Let me jump to Philip in Sacramento. Hi, Philip.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
Hey, ran into a couple of Republican friends over the last couple of days. Well, actually, one family member and one friend.
Any injuries?
no, fortunately. and both of them told me that they really wished that they had changed their affiliation so that they could have voted for Obama in the primary.
Interesting.
And that they would vote for him in the general, but they were really, really staunch about not voting for Hillary in the general. And I've heard that from a lot of people. You know, on some of the talk shows that they've encountered that also.
Well, Obama has recently been making that case, that he can appeal to voters who simply will not vote for Hillary Clinton, and I think it's true. And I think if you look at the map from last night, understood that, Democratic primaries do not necessarily project how a red state, for example, will vote in the general election. But that said, he showed tremendous strength in all white states, North Dakota and Utah, and he also showed remarkable strength in southern states like Georgia. And these are beyond the reach of Hillary Clinton in most respects. And I do agree that Obama, for his weaknesses and some would challenge his lack of experience, he does change the game. He brings people into the process who haven't participated for a long time, if at all. And I think that is one of the major things that recommends him. Thanks for your call today, Philip. Carlos in Sacramento, welcome.
Thank you. First-time caller. I'm listening to your show, and my wife and I voted for Barack Obama. And I voted against that amendment that would have kept Nunez in office. And then I looked in the mirror, and I found out, hey, I'm Mexican. I voted the wrong way. What are these people thinking, that people don't read the newspapers, that they don't read the news? I don't understand where these people get this, that people are against Obama because they're Hispanic, or for and but I have caught on the news, and I've read it in the newspaper in the opinion columns that we need a woman in as a president, and the now chapter is against Ted Kennedy because he endorsed Obama. I thought we were voting for a president. I didn't know we were voting for a gender or a race.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your comments, Carlos. But to be fair, 33% of Latinos.
Yeah, I am Mexican. Damn.
I can't change any of that. But 33% of Latinos supported Obama. So it is fair to at least analyze and say, well, gosh, why is there such loyalty among California's Latinos to Hillary Clinton? It's not all identity. It's not all.
First, she got the support first. She got it from Dolores Huerta.
Right.
And if Barack would have done more homework in California, he would have known who the players were.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. It's politics more than race.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Carlos, really appreciate that you called, and thanks for listening to the program.
Have a good day.
All right. Jake in Eureka gets the final comment today. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Peter B. I had something to say that I think it was a fantastic election day yesterday. You know, you had Proposition 93, that scheme to keep the current legislators in Sacramento defeated. You had youth turnout across the country skyrocket. And you had Barack Obama pull even in delegates with Hillary Clinton. And all the momentum is on Barack Obama's side. Clearly, this race is moving in Obama's direction, Peter B.
Well, I think you are correct. I think that's fair to say, and it's going to be very interesting to see it play out. It may, in fact, go all the way to the convention, and that would be exciting for me. I would not object to a convention that actually means something, where the delegates actually get to pick the nominee. We've had backroom deals and things that were all signed, sealed, and delivered much in advance of the convention. It'd be nice if that's different this year. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
Happy trails to you.
We're going to be back at you tomorrow. Same great time, same great radio stations. Grab a podcast, share it with a friend at peterbcollins.com. And happy trails.
Keep smiling until then.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
You don't ever expect to look around and see your neighborhood look like this.
A woman in Macon County, Tennessee, surveys a community devastated by a tornado. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has more.
When rescuer Wesley Overstreet got to hard-hit Macon County, Tennessee, he was confronted with a mash-like triage.
When I was administering first aid to this other fellow that I'd found, I heard a baby crying, and I heard, oh, my Lord, here's a baby.
A tornado had ripped the little boy from his home. His mother was killed among those who died in the nation's deadliest tornado outbreak in nearly 10 years. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Lafayette, Tennessee.
I'm Peter King in Atkins, Arkansas.
It went woo.
Rosie Patterson rode out the tornado in her bathroom.
It didn't last but a few seconds, but I prayed as hard as I could pray.
and God answered.
The early estimates say between 50 and 100 buildings were either damaged or destroyed in Atkins. Four people were killed here. They include three from one family who stayed in their house to try to keep their horses calm.
Across the South, the Twisters are blamed for at least 54 deaths. Senate Democrats, who want to add $44 billion to the economic stimulus package, were derailed late today when Republicans blocked it. The measure's fate is unclear, but Majority Leader Harry Reid says he's going to give Republicans a chance to reconsider. The expanded plan includes checks for senior citizens and disabled veterans. Senator Hillary Clinton gave her campaign some economic stimulus.
I loaned the campaign $5 million from my money. That's where I got the money. I loaned it because I believe very strongly in this campaign.
Clinton says she did it to compete with Barack Obama's fundraising. He took in a whopping $32 million last month. President Bush has lifted the veil on waterboarding. The White House says he authorized the CIA to give its most detailed public account yet. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
The waterboarding was used on three terror suspects in recent years, including 9/11 plotter Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. The White House says that interrogation technique is no longer authorized. But when it was not regarded as torture.
Torture is illegal. We don't torture.